This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
Me.
Well, with apologies to Don Imus and the Rutgers women basketball team, welcome to our ho-ho-rific show.
Ho-ho-rific. Oh,
ho. Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Thank you, E.
E. Elvis Presley loved Christmas.
Everywhere it's Christmas.
So did the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere it's fun. London.
Paris. And New York.
Tokyo, Hong Kong. Everywhere it's Christmas.
And I'm off to join the charm.
Everywhere it's Christmas.
At the end of every year.
Oh. Everywhere it's Christmas. At the end of every year.
Christmas.
Everywhere it's Christmas.
Christmas.
At the end of every year.
Oh, ho, ho.
Everywhere. It's our annual Christmas show.
Where's the Christmas spirit? I mean, spirits.
You're soaking in it.
Rocking around Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
I explained this to somebody the other day. Didn't go over.
Some fire, do some caroling.
Yeah. I was telling Bruce, you know, this Brenda Lee song, when she says pumpkin pie, it sounds like something else. And the person looked at me and said, what else? And I decided not to go on with it.
Right. I H O.
Rocking around. I hop there. Let the Christmas spirit ring.
Play on words, little beepy.
Later we'll have some f***ing pie and we'll do.
There's no need to use that nasty word.
No, it's terrible. At Christmas time? I mean, what kind of manners are those?
It's our last show of the year. It's Friday. It's
there
Friday.
Was a Friday had a song, and this is how it goes. O-F-R-I-D-A-Y, F-R-I-D-A-Y, F-R-I-D-A-Y. That's how the Friday song goes.
Thank you for listening.
Beautiful.
I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Oh, but there's more.
Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. Tree. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree, tree.
This guy's good.
Tree. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, tree.
Perfect. Man.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Now for your Christmas parties.
Hey, let's big fat Santa, what have you done?
It's a Christmas song. Uh-huh.
Hey, jolly Saint Nick, presents, here they come.
It's for Christmas parties, Mike. People are dancing now.
Hey, Kris Kringle, there's cookies I left for you. Hey, Mr. Claus, my chimney's too small for you. I want a Red Ryder shotgun. I can hear your reindeer up ahead. It's a nice day for a white Christmas.
How you doing, Rob?
And happy Hanukkah to my Jewish friends.
That's it.
There he goes.
He Thank does. You for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Is that because of white Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, that's mainly for Rob. Rob and all of his elves.
Little white elves.
Those aren't elves.
Little albino elves. No, those are just short Nazis.
White power!
There they are. Bastards.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Ho, ho, ho.
So listen, cats and kittens, this is a very unorganized show.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of stuff to get to today. We've got the Hamburger James story.
Hey.
Charlie's birthday.
Right. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Zwarte Piet.
Black Peter. Zwarte Piet.
Zwarte Piet.
Zwarte.
All of the different Black Peter stories.
Yes, in a bag to Spain.
Auntie Lola.
Oh, good.
And perhaps this year I'll even talk about Cousin Ron.
Ronnie.
Cousin Ron. You don't really have anything.
Was it Ron or Ronnie?
Well, it was Cousin Ronnie.
Yeah. Ronnie.
Given name Ron.
Right. It smells like dog food in here.
Thank you.
What's is anyone eating anything or is somebody cooking something?
Well, it's obviously it's Joe's lunch.
Really one candidate for that.
What the hell is he eating today?
Joe.
That smells like Alpo.
Joe?
Yes, Don.
Everyone wants to know, what are you enjoying for lunch today?
Pot roast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess that's what Alpo is really when you think about it.
Beefy chunk.
It's just overcooked meat.
Yeah.
Joe, I'm dying to know. What'd you get me for Christmas?
Nothing.
What'd you get Rob for Christmas?
Nothing.
What'd you get me for Christmas?
Rubber balls and liquor.
Joe's come empty-handed to our Christmas feast.
Right. Right.
That's right.
He did not bring the Christmas goose.
I know what you all are getting. I just don't.
Impatient? When you make pot roast, Joe.
Yes?
I know, right.
Never mind. I don't even want to finish.
Okay. Wait till the buds burst.
All right. Bye, Joe.
Buds bursting.
Came running in here right before the show. Ain't got no presents.
I know y'all brought gifts in, but I don't have anything for any of you.
He swear to God, he said to me, you get mail, right?
Yeah.
I said, well, like email? No, like postal service.
Postal
like,
delivery.
Like, no, Nimrod. I don't. Of course I do. We all get. He says,
what are we getting? Gift certificates for Joe's power washing?
We're all getting something in the mail from Joe.
Really?
That's all I know, Mike.
And he wouldn't give us any more hints?
Nope.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
So this is going to be kind of all over the place. I don't know how many phone calls are going to make it on the air today, but with all the tapes, we've got also the Beatles tapes to play.
Right.
We've got the I Love Lucy stuff to play.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've got Larry King interrogating Santa Claus.
Quick. Yo, better watch out.
Classics.
Santa, do you take antibiotics?
Antibiotics.
Yes, hey, Santa wait. Claus.
Why?
Hello. And really, you can hear Larry terrifying children, even though he's got small children of his own that probably don't even know him yet. But he terrifies the kids.
And I know it's been years since we've thrilled our audience with this. We've not opened up our gifts yet.
Right. Oh, my God. We never do it on the air anymore.
We may actually do it on the air, just, you know, like the way that people do it at parties and, and at holiday gatherings, except we do it real fast.
Right. Right.
The way that men do Christmas.
Lightning round.
Is the way that we do it.
Mm-hmm. Let me give somebody one now.
No, you got to wait, Mike.
Come on.
Got to wait.
Come on, Ma.
No, you got to wait. Because the whole point of us doing it on the air the way that we do it is that we don't have to go through the useless exercise of like, oh look, it's Chico and the Man box set.
Chico, don't be discouraged.
Not that I would be unhappy with that, but whatever the gift is, you feel obligated to hold it up and have everyone else go like Wheel of Fortune.
For sure.
Ooh.
You're impatient, right?
I like to give my gifts.
Sure.
I don't care about receiving my gifts like right away. Right. I like to give what I bought for people right away and get the reaction.
But it
right
is
away.
Imperative that you receive.
Absolutely, it's
good.
Imperative.
Sure. Good.
I'm furious at Joe.
Are you?
Furious.
I know pot roast doesn't mail well.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Pot roast doesn't travel through the walls well either.
And we're going to start today with a very special song that we've never played before on any of our Christmas shows.
Huh.
And Mike, after 22 years together, yes. I dedicate this to you, my friend.
Very good.
The Don and Mike Show.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
What is it?
I don't want to see my mama cry.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
Don't get drunk this Christmas.
By John Denver.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to see my mama cry.
Oh, I'll be a happy drunk.
Just last year when I was only 7.
Oh, sing it, Johnny. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm almost 8, as you can see.
Sing real good for an 8-year-old.
Big boy.
You came home a quarter past 11.
That's what I call a happy hour.
And fell down underneath our Christmas tree.
Boy, sounds like he had a camera.
Right.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
Can't do it.
I don't want to see my mama cry.
I'm gonna drink anyway.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
Count on it.
I don't want to see my mama cry.
She won't cry. I won't be home.
Mama smile.
God,
it's a long one.
Okay, well.
It's longer than your 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I appreciate that.
That one's for you, and this one's for everybody.
All right.
Mike Douglas makes us moist.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
This is the Katie Got a Dolly song.
Happy birthday, J-Man.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Now we've mentioned, it sounds like Vietnamese kids singing in the background.
Katie got a dolly.
Katie Couric.
Cries and blinks.
It was a love doll.
Blinks. Jimmy got an automatic plane that really flies. We were poor that Christmas.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Sitting in the kitchen making us a present. It was this song.
This is a song. He gave it as a gift, you see.
Wink a dink, angels sing a wing. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Happy birthday,
Mike
Jesus.
Mike Douglas.
They were poor.
Safe home, Mike Douglas.
Lots of safe homes this year.
Which one of these will be our opening song this year?
Oops. What was that one?
It's Tiny Tim, Mike. Tiny Tim.
All in
a- oh, let me just reset.
He's singing Silent Night, I guess.
Trying to.
Double T.
We've known him.
Silent night.
In that way.
Holy night.
He's doing his lower voice, which is always creepy.
Enough of that. That seems to be skipping.
That'll be enough of that, as.
Round yon world.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Bobby Vinton, straight from Branson, Missouri. Want to dedicate this to Matt the Pollock?
I'm not happy.
And his mom, Paula Goldstein. Happy Hanukkah.
Santa must be Paulie, she's jolly.
Whoop-a!
Riding on his sleigh with gifts for you and me.
You and me.
Santa must be Polish, all dressed in red and white.
Santa's Polish.
Santa must be Polish.
Boy, chick.
Okay.
These songs of the weird.
Here's a hint, Mike.
Thank you!
Oh.
Here's another hint.
Thank you!
Said the night wind to the little lamb.
That is Rosie.
That bitch!
Do you see what I see?
You!
Way up in the sky.
Complete with sound effects.
Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Dancing in the night.
Oh, it's her with Elmo.
Oh,
oh God.
Okay. Isn't she cute?
Okay.
But I agree.
Listening.
Tail as big as a kite.
Merry Christmas and a wonderful new year.
Thank you, baby.
Is there more?
Well, of course there's more. There's always more, Mike.
Rob asked you.
Rob, I'm sorry.
I'm right. Over here now.
You loved him doing IOU on Mother's Day.
Oh, Jimmy.
And I know everybody's calling to complain about the size of the sausage now. The
sausages.
12 ounces versus 16 ounces. Jimmy D. JD.
I wonder if he speaks it or sings it.
Rockin' on the Zoo.
If I owned a great big house.
Great big.
I'd have a Christmas room.
Christmas room.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shut up.
Like Ed McMahon.
Right, exactly.
That's no good.
Oh.
Well, everybody, now we're rocking.
Is this the Brady Bunch?
Another JD.
Better watch out.
John Davidson?
You got it.
Better not cry.
Cry. God, I hate the way he sings. Listen when he does a...
I'm telling you why.
That big smile.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Town. What's he doing? Is he alive?
I believe he is, yeah.
The hell is he doing now? I haven't heard of his name in years.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Ah, the Ponderosa.
Merry Christmas, neighbors.
Yay.
Neighbors.
Screw you, Lauren. Speaking of dog food.
Merry Christmas, neighbor. Happy day.
Let's all hold hands.
I've always wondered what's going on at the Ponderosa, Paw.
Lauren Green.
That's a dad and his three men, his three fully grown men, male sons. And
his other son, Seth.
They never like women.
No.
A gay Christmas on the Ponderosa.
Does he speak again?
I don't know, Don, but all the women are wearing bonnets. In that Wild West way.
Sure they're women.
Oh, maybe they're in drag. Hoss always goes in drag.
That's right. I know we lost this man this year. Yeah. I believe we were one of the few shows that had a tribute to Bobby Boris Pickett.
It was the night before Christmas when all through the castle.
Very original.
My monsters were having a Yuletide hassle. The tree was all trimmed in ghoulish things like werewolf fangs and vampire wings.
If something works.
But they were up
monster
to no
smash. It was a graveyard smash. I'm dead in the trash. I'm Bobby Boris Pickett.
Somebody told Bobby Boris that this would work at Christmas time.
It's a formula.
Not really, though.
Pick it and eat it.
Not as good as Halloween.
Can we break away from these novelty songs for a moment with a man who's the punchline of a joke that I found disgusting? He's got neighbors up the ass.
Carols in the square, laughter everywhere.
Sergeant Carter!
Couples kissing under the mistletoe.
And Rob, that disgusting joke?
Rock Hudson didn't have many friends, but he had neighbors up the ass.
I'll be missing Christmas Eve in my hometown.
God. Wonderful.
Yuck. Beautiful.
Talk about putting you in the spirit.
What do you say we just start?
Okay.
Really no, just start now?
There's really no real opening. So, I mean, we could open with a real Christmas song, but
right.
that would kind of be dumb, right?
No, it would be dumb, right?
Sure, right?
Play one more Christmas. How about a normal Christmas song?
All right. You got it.
This is normal.
Sure is, Mike.
Isn't this Tim again?
Oh.
In his proper falsetto. Do you remember his requirements as a guest?
I believe it was beer in green bottles.
No, it was Corona.
Corona beer. Warm Corona.
Room temperature Corona.
And he required lotions, right? Because he needed to cream his hands.
I
remember the brand.
What was the brand?
Paquin's.
Paquin's hand cream,
exactly.
Specifically requested by Tiny Tim.
The late Tiny Tim.
Hello, I'm Michael Eisner, head of Walt Disney. Original family programs and movies are the cornerstone of entertainment here on the...
Oh, no, we've already heard this.
And joining us now is the star...
Michael Eisner and his perfect diction.
...and his own hit series here on ABC, George Lopez. Hi, George.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for inviting me. You know, Disney and I go way back.
I did hear an interesting story about one of your...
I boosted my first car at Disneyland.
Every time, you know, and as a souvenir of my visit, I really wanted my grandmother to give me the Mickey ears hat with my name written on it. But instead, she told me that my ears stuck out further than the ones on the hat, so...
I had to steal it.
My name across my...
Thank you for the invite, Mr. Eisner. Eisner, you're the Mickey Mouse man.
I thought we should give you a present from the mouse himself.
From the mouse himself. Only
thanks,
for me
Mickey.
To pronounce N's
and
T's.
Thank you for joining us here on the wonderful
join
World
us.
Of Disney.
And enjoy the rest of tonight's presentation of Naughty or Nice. Happy holidays. You know, I think my grandmother was right, Michael. My ears are bigger.
Ay, caramba.
This is Michael Eisner. Thank you for joining us on the Disney Channel. No need for me to do that, Tony. I got to talk a lot of things fast and quickly. I'm very happy to celebrate Christmas Day. Now he's my good friend. Please welcome him to his TV show on Disney. This is George Lopez.
Hank! Hank! There you are. Ratings are through the roof today. I mean, you buried the hitman. I just got off of corporate. They want you back. Your old slot. But your way. Sports, self-help, home improvement, gardening, anything you want, Hank. I love you, man.
Oh, that's a happy ending.
Hello, Hank!
Jesus. Gardening.
The bleacher bum.
That's from the movie called Naughty or Nice,
Dog. Oh, that's right. That was a Christmas story.
Yes. Yeah.
Naughty or Nice. Which
to
be?
I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
All right, give me a second to just do a... Okay, this is George Lopez on this disc.
Right.
Which is Gracias.
Where's this disc at?
The one they called 14?
That's give me a break, Mr. Eisner.
Lost the disc already.
Did you found it?
No.
That's another one that was hiding.
Under your sombrero.
Where was it hiding?
Ah, we got it. Here we go. All right,
now he's putting it in the machine and pressing the button.
We will start with a real Christmas song. But first, let's hear the last from the year of 2007, brand new calls from the Belcher.
But I wanted to get the woman's opinion, and we have another caller right behind her. And so let me listen to you, madame.
Well, I don't have an opinion on that because I don't know the whole story. I was just concerned with the fact that I hear so much about immigration.
That's a woman that sounds like Don Geronimo squeezing his testicles.
Hey.
Well, I just, ma'am,
excuse me, ma'am. Just hold on 1 second.
Yes.
You see, this is the lower life form that is etching its way onto the team, hoping that he got a rise out of us. But we have the power of the finger, and now that you're back out there in cyber scuzz space where you belong,
you're finished.
they're getting onto him.
It's the last of the
Here we
Belcher.
Go. Here's another one.
Huh? Hello.
Can you hear me?
We're hearing you. Hello.
Oh.
How are you?
We're hearing you.
Hello.
But you're talking to someone else in the meantime.
No, we're here. Well, it depends. If you're not listening, we are talking to a few people.
We're talking to everybody that's listening.
Oh. Yeah, I thought I would have heard some sort of a noise before I could put on the radio.
Well, there you go. You want some noise?
That's a good one.
All okay. Right.
That was a great noise.
Wake up. The world is on fire. Yes.
What do you do with yourself to make that noise? That's great.
Ahmed, that is so annoying. Put that away already.
Sounds like he's calling a free FM show, doesn't it?
I think that he rode his bike all the way from Islip over here.
Does he get that from rubbing Michael Mara's ball?
No, he doesn't get it that way. But, you know, you probably would get it if you just kind of put your head between two bowling balls and let something roll over your head, too.
Oh, my.
Ouch.
Yeah.
There's hostility there.
There he goes again. Let me ask you something. Why do you bother? You're on the air.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Whoopee.
This is the same guy or this is a different guy? Is it like a copycat type of scaredy cats? Yeah.
You hear him in the background.
You play something relevant and something that, you know.
This might be a three-liner, right?
You know, they just drop their meds all together, you know.
Pussy.
Yeah.
I know you made one more call. One more. It's about Rob's head.
You're on the air.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, I was enjoying the chanting music. I've been listening to the Gregorian chants for a good 20 years, and I know they only became popular within the last 10 in mainstream.
Yeah.
Music, which I think is a great thing, as long as it's not overly commercialized like Rob Spiewak's enormous head.
Yeah, you know, just scrape your head, man, against the asphalt, okay?
Asphalt, he's awesome.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Oh, thank you, Belcher.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello! Probably the greatest Christmas song ever, cats.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, you're ruining the song, man.
Baby, please,
Mike.
Sorry. Just singing along. Is that what you're supposed to do with Christmas songs? Oh, and here I am talking now. I'm sorry. I know this is your this is your second favorite, right?
Oh, this would be...
Your all-timer?
More than the Mariah Carey song, yeah.
Like Christmas at all.
Darlene Love kicks little ass.
I remember when you were here.
I mean, And don't you feel like Christmas when you hear this song? It's just...
Yeah, it's a great, great, great song.
I swear to Christ, it's the perfect marriage of rock and roll and happy pop music.
If I sing along anymore during this song, go ahead. It's shoot Christmas. Me. Just had to get that in.
Phil Spector. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Christ, this is one of the reasons I love radio. I remember when I heard this song, like, what a great rock and roll song. And I would wait all year when I worked in Top 40 Radio for the chance to play this. I would bogart this song. Because, like, even back in the 70s, there was the rotation that you had to go through.
You had to go by the format.
No, I went with this one. Oh, my God, every hour. Are you kidding? Too good. You find great versions of this by U2. A lot of people do this song.
And the reason you like the Mariah Carey is because they really did capture this sound.
Yeah.
On her song.
Please. 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 Oh, I'm doing it now, Mike. I'm sorry.
Now I'll have to shoot you.
I drive my family nuts with this. You know, look, we got like 8 different CDs full of songs, and I'm constantly, when this one comes up, I just put it on repeat.
Crank it up.
And when you're walking around the house, you don't notice for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But like every once in a while, like Janet would say to me, is that thing skipping?
It's on all the time.
Love it.
And Phil Spector never struck me as kind of a Christmassy guy either. But he caught the magic with that. He really did.
And I got emailed a copy of that other great song, the Mariah Carey one, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I got a version of that by my Chemical Romance.
Right, right.
Which is about what you would expect from them,
mm-hmm.
but not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad. Pretty goddamn Christmassy.
Mm-hmm.
Ho, ho, ho.
Right.
I like the Mariah Carey song just a little bit better than that one because it's just a little more modern. A little clearer.
Yes. Shall we take a call?
Yes, let's do.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show, only one.
Just one.
Yeah, I was wondering if I get on the Don and Mike Show.
You happen to be on the Don and Mike Show right now.
Right now.
Right on. This is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Sure is.
Guys, how you doing?
Oh, it couldn't be better.
Happy.
Happy holidays to you. It's snowing in Spokane.
Ah.
It's really snowing out there?
Yeah.
Sunny here.
Really?
Hey, all right. Yeah. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys.
Yes, sir.
What?
How are you?
Bye!
You know, Christmas time, holiday time, it's a time for the time. We're not going to take any calls.
It's, one call.
It's there a time was for us. A Friday, had a song, and this is how it goes.
I forgot, it's a Friday show.
R-I-D-A-Y.
Friday Christmas show.
R-I-D-A-Y, F-R-I-D-A-Y, that's how the Friday song goes.
Not everyone shares our joy on this day, Mike. I'd like to start off the Christmas show, if I could, of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a way of, like, of grace, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
A blessing on this entire show. It's a tale involving my Aunt Lola.
We're getting right to the Aunt Lola story.
Well, I figure if we don't get to it up front, we'll probably forget it.
Okay.
And I do want to try to remember every single detail.
Please.
We lived in Beloit, Wisconsin. Ugh. Seriously, the butthole of Wisconsin.
Was that close to the cheese factory?
Mike, that is where the cheese factory was located.
So you were basically in a, well, it's not a suburb because you didn't live near a city. Beloit wasn't a city. You lived in the same town where they made the cheese.
Sure did.
You could smell the cheese factory,
yes,
right?
Yes, and at night when you would drive the circuit, which involved driving about a half mile around one big city block around the cheese factory.
Uh-huh. You'd cruise the circuit.
Yes, and you could actually smell the cheese, the bad cheese.
Was it always a foul smell?
Or always.
Did it ever smell like, hey, that's great cheese?
Never.
Never smelled like a toasted cheese sandwich or like a cheese crouton. It always tasted kind of like excrement.
I never ate that because it always smelled like poo, and there would be people waiting in line to buy like the seconds or the extras.
Sure.
That's fresh cheese. Somehow cheese is not a product that I really care that it's fresh. You know what I mean? Aren't you supposed to age cheese
better? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is a working town, Beloit, Wisconsin. And my grandma is having the annual Christmas party at her place. Big part of this in my highly dysfunctional family is booze.
Booze makes the holidays fun.
I remember every single Christmas party that there was, the adults would start drinking. I'm not kidding. Like, as the kids were opening the presents.
Do you have enough detailed memory to remember the type of booze? Was it a variety, or were there specific spirits that were served? Were they bourbon people by any chance?
It looked like whiskey.
Whiskey. Very good. All you want. Whiskey.
So they'd start the drinking early in the day, and everybody would have fun. And my Aunt Lola, as I've mentioned before, looked like a hotter Judy Carn from Laugh-In.
Had the short haircut.
Yeah.
Had kind of the, it wasn't the Hamel Camel, but it was closer crop than that. It was that mod haircut they had in the 70s.
And this is 1969.
Oh, it's 69. We hadn't hit the 70s yet.
Right as we're about to go to 1970.
After the turbulent 1968.
Now, my Uncle Jerry, he has come back from Vietnam, but for whatever reason, that's her husband, he's not at the party.
How did he do? Did he have any of that traumatic stuff? Was Uncle Jerry, was he all there, is what I'm asking, after he came back from Nam?
That's why Uncle Jerry wasn't at this thing, to be honest.
He was a little wigged out?
A little,
Glad I asked. Glad I asked the question.
God bless him. Anyway.
God rest his soul, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whatever that thing is that mobsters say.
He's gone to a better place, thank God.
Thank God. That's it. Thank God.
Thank God.
So my Aunt Lola is incredibly hot by anybody's standards. But in this place, she's like the hottest woman in the world because all of the other women are like my mom. Mm-hmm. And they all look like my mom and my grandma, and they all have that look.
They all wearing house coats?
Yeah, you know, they've all got their Santa Claus sweaters on.
Right.
They've got that boozy, they've been drinking all day breath, and they're kind of half cooking. And Lola would walk around in this mini skirt with the high go-go boots.
Yeah. Still trying to look sexy.
And, oh my God, was she hot. And I remember on this day, I was sitting in front of the TV watching your Green Bay Packers.
Right. An activity you still maintain today.
What, watching? Watching
the Green Bay, a tradition that carries on today in your household.
I'm just trying to paint that. I was really, everyone else was in the other room doing something.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Since we're trying to get more detail, Auntie Lola, any estimate on what her age may have been?
She was in her early 30s at
early
the time.
Early 30s, that's all I needed to know.
And I specifically remember it was a Packers game that was a blowout. Most of the adults had left. And I was sitting in this little TV room, which was right off my grandma's garage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting there by myself with a little Green Bay Packer TV tray, watching the game, real bad paneling in this little, like, off-the-kitchen room.
Right.
She walked in, she sat down next to me, and she tussled my hair. It was like, how are you doing? You're the only one watching this game.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah.
Were you... Now, what was the age? 69. You were 4, you were
11?
Okay. 11. So you're a kid. I mean, anyway, you slice it, you're a child.
I was mature for my age, though.
How mature can anyone be at 11?
It's him.
Not this mature, Mike.
Were you...
Anyway,
no.
Was I what?
We don't need that much detail.
I think by that point, I hadn't even started screwing my teddy bear yet.
Yeah, and was there any...
No, I take it back. I had been screwing my teddy bear before.
See? Did you have hair down there?
I don't really remember. My baby photos, I had hair when I was born. I mean...
Pubes.
Huge pubic hair down there.
Came in dark and fell out.
Yeah, in fact, your hair on your head wasn't there, but it came in down there early.
It looked like Gabe Potter's head down there. Mike, I don't remember if I had hair.
Down there, it was a chia pet.
I have no idea. Okay, All I know is that...
Yeah.
I'm watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
She tussles my hair, and then she leaves.
Right.
And then a moment later, pod down the music, I hear from the, I don't want to call it a closet, it's like a storage room.
Right.
Because it worked like this, garage, and then the room from the garage was the room she was in that had a TV and had a big storage closet. And then you went from that room to the kitchen.
Okay.
So I hear from in the back storage room in the back of this room, I hear, Mike,
What's up? Can you come in and help me?
Now, see, that's a part. There's detail. Every year, something new. I didn't know that she summoned you. I didn't know that she beckoned you in a little pantry.
How else would I end up in this situation?
I don't remember. I always seem to remember you guys kind of. I you know what you used to tell it? You used to say she grabbed your hand.
Pulled you in.
But I like the beckoning. Maybe keep both. Keep that there. That's the good part. She's in the pantry.
You know, I do remember her calling me out.
Uh-huh.
And then I get there, and yeah, now I'm thinking about it, yes. The door is open.
Right.
And it's got a light bulb that has the string coming down.
I remember that vividly.
She does grab me by the hand, and she says, I need you to come in and help me with this light. And at that point, she pulls me in, shuts the door,
right.
And I said, there's no problem with the light. And she said something like, exactly. And she went, click, and turned it off. And then it was, oh, and she stuck her tongue so far into my mouth.
Your little 11-year-old mouth.
Now, I believe I knew what French kissing was.
But you were still confused and frightened, right?
And I stood there. I don't know how long this went on. She was leaning down and had my face in her hands.
She violated you.
And was just laying it on me. And it was a long kiss. Man, it was a long kiss. And I remember.
Did you feel any desire to flee? Or did you enjoy the experience?
Here's what I remember most of all. The taste.
Really?
The taste, which was booze.
Oh,
of course.
And smokes, right? Cigarettes?
That I don't remember, but okay. I do remember.
Boozy.
The booze.
We're like, oh, that.
So this is, she was well into her celebration when she did this.
So she kissed me hard on the mouth, and then I went to open the door, and she pulled my hand back and said, where are you going? And it was around that time that I heard, thank God, Captain Doofus, my cousin Ronnie, had come into the TV room.
Right.
Like the big, just lummox that he is.
Big clod.
Hey, are you watching the game? And I swear to God, I like screamed, I'm in here! I'm in here!
So you did feel fear.
Yeah.
There was fear there.
Sure. Of course.
Auntie Lola had trapped you.
So she left. She left the pantry, and he was standing there. And she walked by him. And Cousin Ronnie at that time was like 18.
Okay.
17 or 18.
Perhaps he would have been the more appropriate relative to drag into the pantry.
Well, this is how I know what went on, because she walked out, and he looked at me, and he said something to the effect of what's going on.
Right.
And I said, she just put me in there. I mean, she made out. She kissed me. She put my tongue down her down my tongue down. And he grabbed me and he was like, "You harassing me! You come outside right now! Tell me right now!"
Was he angry or was he excited?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Incredibly excited.
Sure. He probably fantasized about it.
We got into his car. It was a Dodge Charger,
right?
Purple. Because he's just a retard. With a big, gigantic, whatever Looney Tunes it is, the like Tasmanian devil.
Right.
He's got it on the grill of the car.
Right.
And I remember running out of the TV room, running through the garage, getting in the car. He drove about a half a mile away, like we were under surveillance or something.
Right.
Pulled the car to the side of the road and said, tell me everything that happened. And you know, I was rather naive.
You gave him kind of as best you could a description of what had happened.
I said, I was watching TV. She grabbed me. She kissed me. And it was at that point my cousin Ronnie said, if you want to go back and you want to get that vulgar word that your mother used.
Right.
Or something else like that.
She'll do that.
He led me to believe that if I wanted to have I remember he said, you want to have your cherry popped, she's perfect.
Did he know this from his own experience? This is a whole new area of the Auntie Lola story.
Like the question.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Auntie Lola had a track record.
Yeah. Or so he said.
Yeah.
Well, he knows. Like surfing Pat Benatar, you weren't the only one.
But see, I never knew.
I never really knew because we never talked about it.
You never spoke of it to Auntie Lola again?
Oh, no, my God.
Did she act weird around you after that?
No, she would play games with me, like, at Thanksgiving, like the next Thanksgiving, I'd be sitting at the table, and she would just take one finger, her one fingernail, and run it underneath the collar of my shirt.
Yeah.
You know.
Always after she'd have a little hooch.
Look, I'm an 11, 12-year-old boy.
She took a shine to you. She took a
shot. Liked him young. She liked him
all
young.
All I remember about it is that she laid the tongue on me.
Yeah.
She did, and then it was over. When Ronnie explained that act to you, did you track with him? Did you understand what he was talking about?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's we all do at that age,
I mean,
age,
he may have just said something like, hey, you know what? She wants to ball you.
Oh, okay, you know, yeah.
That was the big, something like that.
That was the term back then that we all used.
Yeah.
And I was like, Auntie Lola.
And I was like, really? I said, Aunt Lola wants to ball me?
You gave him a blow-by-blow description in the purple
Charger.
The purple Dodge Charger.
And then we went,
Auntie Lola.
Then we went back and had to be our secret.
Oh, that must have been a very difficult. Was this before the big Christmas meal?
Yes.
Did this happen before that? So you had to break bread with her after that?
Yeah, because it was whatever. Christmas Eve, it was Packers were playing. There were two games on that day.
Right.
So they were the early game, and then everyone
probably Christmas Eve, and you had Christmas Eve dinner.
Everyone was eating afterwards. And
people get pretty stinky at that point, you know?
Yeah, everybody's drunk, and, you know, and my cousin Ronnie would just, every once in a while, look at me, you know, and, like, look at me with these big, and you got to understand, this guy was just the idiot's idiot.
Who was the celebrity that cousin Ronnie most resembled?
Okay.
Jason Hervey?
No, I'm going to tell you really, a very retarded Kurt Russell.
Okay.
I think I get you.
I mean, like,
I think I get you a little bit.
Maybe in some ways. You know,
so you're saying he looked a little bit like maybe even a less retarded Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Okay.
No, more retarded.
More retarded.
The thing is, you know, somewhat handsome.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is, if you're looking on the retard scale, you get Kurt Russell, and don't you think Patrick Swayze's a little more retarded looking than Kurt Russell?
Have you ever seen Patrick Swayze's brother? I think his name is Don Swayze.
Looks like a bird.
Yeah.
Almost looks like a hawk.
He looks like a messed up Patrick Swayze. So that's the image I'm having in my head.
So, like, you know, if all the chromosomes had lined up the right way, Ronnie could have been a good looking guy, but somehow it didn't work.
Yeah, and he was just always so friggin' stupid. But I loved him because he was such a loser. And all of his friends thought he was such an idiot. He couldn't find anybody his own age that would hang out with him.
I see.
So that's why he really considered you at 11 to be almost a contemporary.
And a good match.
There were kids in every family like that. You know, the kids that really, you know, at the family gatherings couldn't track with people their own age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you'd see the 16, 17-year-olds hanging out at the little kids' table. Mm-hmm. It happened.
Drooling.
I enjoyed every minute of it, too.
The greatest way to summarize my cousin Ron, I've said this before, he was explaining to me how cars work. Because really, I'm a kid. I don't know anything.
You don't know. Right.
I see he's got the big, like Fonzie, right? Mm-hmm. So he says to me, I'm going to show you how you add oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, beautiful. I'm watching. I'm a kid. I'm watching.
Right. Learning.
He says, first thing, you need straws.
This is without question the dumbest thing that's ever been done in the automotive world.
I swear to Christ. This is my cousin Ron to a T.
You need straws.
This is how he changed or added oil. So he goes inside and he gets a handful of straws, like you'd get at the movies.
Right.
And he starts taping them together to make a big, like, I don't know, foot and a half long straw.
6-7 straws.
Then he gets the very last straw and sticks that through the end of a plastic funnel.
A little one.
A little tiny funnel. And then he tapes around the perimeter of the funnel, making kind of a seal with all of these straws.
Kind of a seal. Yeah.
Then he jacks open the hood of the car and pulls out the dipstick and says, this is where you check your oil, and indeed he shows me the correct way.
Right.
You know, there, JB, I use the word indeed.
Looks like you need a quart.
He pulls out exactly what he says.
Wipe dip,
I'm down a quart. Mm-hmm. And then he does this magnificent dance where he is trying to balance the funnel and the straws that are going to the hole where the dipstick is, and he's got a quart of oil in his hand,
right?
A can, mm-hmm. and he's pouring it.
He pours it right in the dipstick,
and it's going. It's like it's going over the top. It's yeah. dripping. It's dripping down.
There's just no way that it's designed to get into the crankcase that way.
And I'm watching how
he's teaching. That's yeah. what I love about this story. He's teaching you, so future generations yeah. can put oil in there in the most retarded way known.
And I'm watching the oil drip over the edges, and I'm watching the oil as it goes through one straw and gets caught on like
somewhere along the line. He missed that big cap that's right next yeah. to the dipstick
with the oil on it.
The sign that says oil.
And he said, "And that's how you change your oil." And I said,
"It's probably he probably thought it was how you change it too."
Yeah. Whatever, you know, fish. I said, thanks, Ronnie. And I remember such an idiot I was the first time that I was around guys that had cars when I thought that I could speak about it.
Converse, yeah.
I said to some guy something like, yeah, well, I don't know a lot about cars, but I do know about, like, adding oil and changing oil. And, well, you need straws.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Is that when you were beaten to death?
Yeah, it's like that's
when they beat you up.
They're like, hold on. And they pop whatever car it was. Sure. They said, do you see this big, gigantic thing that has a knob that says, add oil here?
Right here, you moron.
And it's like, they opened it up, and I looked at it, and I said, you're kidding. That's like a gigantic hole. You pour the oil right from the can.
Yes, very easy.
Right into the gigantic hole.
Right. Right. A little sloppy if you don't do that the right way. Right. What line of work did Cousin Ronnie ever go into? Do you know?
Did he
work by any chance in you know, in any kind of postal situation? Or
he
what?
Is a highly successful real estate agent.
Is he really?
Sure. Highly successful.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Well, in a way, you don't have to play with others when you do that. Just the people that you're selling the houses to.
Mm-hmm.
He can just sit there and, you know, put the oil in his car any way he wants all day long.
Does he sell real estate to kids?
You're saying
he's most comfortable with 14-year-old clients.
Like to see how he puts the sign out on the front yard. Cousin Ronnie.
And that's what the name they put under the sign. Like yeah. Century 21, Cousin Ronnie.
Cousin Ronnie Real Estate.
And think of Kurt Russell like a Snake Bliskin in the Escape from New York movies because he had that long hair.
Right.
And here's the other thing about Ronnie.
You ever wear a string tie? I could see him in a string tie.
Never in a tie, but constantly lifting weights.
Oh, really? So he was bulked up?
Ahead of his time in that regard.
Yo.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, hey, Mikey, here's how I put the oil in the car, okay? This is the way you do it. Oh!
And I used to go cruising for chicks with him. Really?
Even
really?
With about 7 years between you guys?
That's how desperate he was.
Oh, wow. Man. And so how long did the association... with Ronnie last? I mean, you were 11 when Auntie Lola did that, and he was 18. So did he catch him all the way up until he was almost 30?
No, he had to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had to leave town. Something come up on
brain surgery.
No, I believe that. Now I am talking out of school.
Right.
I don't know. I think there was a problem with a girl.
Oh, really?
Normally they ship the girl.
Ronnie had a little trouble.
It involved straws.
Yeah. Well, if he was telling him to put the oil in that way, I'm sure putting a condom on was a bit of a challenge,
too. All I know is at one point, Ronnie's moved to Minnesota.
Ronnie's been banished to Minnesota, where he's going to put antifreeze in the car. That'll be a totally different deal. First of all, you need a sponge.
All right,
you need to push it through the grill.
All right, so that's the Auntie Lola story.
Yay. Auntie Lola!
She did make out with me when I was 11, and it was Christmas Eve.
Lovely Christmas Eve story.
Just a mess.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
All right, so when we come back...
Our guest has arrived.
Oh, okay, well, we'll talk to Dude Walker.
Oh, fantastic.
Who's here just to share the holiday spirit with us.
Ho, ho, ho.
Right? Everybody loves it when Dude's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, then we'll start getting into the tapes, and we'll open the gifts.
Very
and,
good.
And we'll give Joe a very hard time.
Because Joe didn't bring anything for anybody.
Because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob,
Don?
The one thing I wanted to say to you is,
yes.
1 week from now, it'll all be over.
The Christmas miracle for you.
I will actually be on the tail end of my recoup 1 week from today. You know what I did today?
What?
I shaved.
Shave your balls?
You had to shave early?
Well, I didn't know how it would go, so I wanted to practice. Give it some time.
Oh, and... balls. Hold on. Excuse me. I know I asked you how you're doing. Last night, they reran on NBC the best of Saturday Night Live, which is normally really like...
Oh, you know, and I saw him tease the sweaty.
Yeah, and they normally, because, you know, the best, it's like it's... not really the
it's
best.
It's not really the
right,
best at all.
But they did rerun that thing where it's the two chicks as the radio host.
NPR,
and,
yeah.
And Alec Baldwin comes out with, he's Pete Schwetty. Schwetty.
I think what I'm most proud of are my balls.
My Schwetty balls.
Oh, my God. That's the. Would you not agree in modern day Saturday Night Live, that is the funniest sketch they've ever done?
And here's why. They all do. They. I laugh my ass off every time because they are so low key.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the one chick, when he pulls out the popcorn ball or whatever it is, she's saying, I love eating your ball.
And they are totally deadpan. I don't know how they were able to do it live.
It's great. It's
absolutely great. Fracturingly funny.
And he's like, well, all of the sweaty balls.
He's got the flannel shirt on, and they've all got their little holiday sweaters on. You know, it's all the set's decorated for Christmas.
And remember, if you order now, if you order your balls now, you get a complimentary ball sack.
That's right.
Pretty great.
Sweaty. Paul Sweaty.
All right, so you got the sweaty balls, and you shaved them today.
Yeah, and I didn't do as well as I had hoped. There was no...
Any nicks or cuts?
No nicks or cuts. But
is there any irritation? Are you irritated?
Not as of yet, but I do think that for it to be properly done, it's going to require assistance. And I know. And it's,
so the missus will have to help out.
Yeah, if not her, somebody.
Did you do it with warm water?
I did in the shower.
Did you do it with the Bic like 100
Absolutely.
People told you to?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what. The weird thing.
Was it a double-edged or a single-edged?
The weird thing about shaving your balls, everything.
The sensation now. Uh-huh. I'm just unaccustomed.
Well, just imagine. You're going to probably have to keep them shaved every day because otherwise you'll fight the itching.
Yeah, yeah.
Wash your hands, boy.
Oh, no, no. No, I'm
no, I mean, I'm serious. Wash your hands more than you normally do.
Don't go sideways.
Or up.
Because, God forbid, you get some fungi under your fingernail.
Oh, I know.
And then you go down there and you say, God, my balls itch so much because I shaved them because I'm getting a vasectomy next week. And then
if you're going to do any pinching and curling, you have to definitely wash your hands.
The amazing thing is just the amount of surface area.
Well, oh, really? Well, congratulations.
Well, no. I mean, it's just much more than you expect.
He's told us before.
They're enormous, right?
The doctor said you have
a generous
scrotum.
You have a prodigious scrotum.
A generous one.
A generous scrotum.
But the thing is, you know, when you have to stretch to shave, it's just that's...
There's more.
Oh, you have to kind of flatten out the surface area.
Yeah, you do. And
God, that's the whole thing makes me creepy.
Yeah, you know what?
Makes me queasy.
It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. I won't say it's bad.
Yeah, really,
it's not good.
At best, it's a three-person operation, really.
Did you start...
What, one for the video camera?
Well, then four.
Did you start with a trimmer?
Yeah, I did.
You started with a trimmer, and then you went to the razor.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, that's nervous. That's nervous stuff.
You should do what I do. I use a straight razor.
And do you get a good head of steam and just...
Yeah. Whack. Just as quick as possible, and it's smooth.
Right.
Really, mine right now, because I do it during the holidays, are just like Christmas ornaments.
Shiny.
Well, what I would do...
I know you're kidding, but I know you're not. Would it be gay if I asked to see?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
That's extremely gay. Yeah. Happy gay Christmas.
You think so?
Just a little bit. You know, after he looks so, let me take a peek.
Sure. Maybe I'll just go upstairs and put them on the photocopier.
Are they smooth?
They're smoothish.
Are they nubby?
They're not nubby. There's nubby in the region, though, because I had to trim the region.
Do you have a 5 o'clock shadow on your balls, a 2 o'clock shadow?
Yeah, it looks like I have Don Johnson in my pants.
So you were generous with the surface area.
Well, yeah. And you don't know really sort of how far to go.
Did you use foam?
No, just warm water.
Well, I would imagine you go right up to, to Washington Monument.
Yeah, but
right?
Then,
well, yeah,
what
but
about
then,
the other way?
Yeah.
Oh, the other way you go to Taintland.
All the way?
Sure.
Well, I don't want to shave there.
Sure. Well, when you get to a certain point, you don't shave.
You'd invite infection.
You get it waxed.
Well, I don't have the time for that.
That's close to
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Now, if I were to go straight razor, I could go to a barber shop, but I'd have to sit in the chair upside down.
In the window.
Why don't you go to that barber shop right next to Ben's Chili Bowl?
Oh, that'll be...
The barber shop that they put on TV whenever they want to have a man-on-the-street interview from Washington, D.C.
Go to the window, sit in the window. Hey, take a look at that. Rob on all fours.
It's the oddest thing I've ever
seen. Because
that's
really how they do it, too. You get on all fours, and then the barber just gets down on his knees, and he takes it from the back.
Like Best in Show.
Yes, exactly.
Like Rob's a dog.
Yeah. I get down,
that's how they approach it.
I get down on all fours, and he gets on one of those auto mechanic things with the wheels, and he slides under.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Oh, we got to do a commercial break here.
Very good.
We celebrate Holly Christmas.
Rocking around Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
remember when we had all those gentlemen in for the homo Thanksgiving and they all did that and they didn't even have to? They all shaved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I don't get.
I know.
It's the oddest sensation.
I'm just thinking about Brenda Lee and her potty mouth. Now.
Something that's felt the same way for about 25 years all of a sudden feels very different.
Really? Right now, as we speak, you're uncomfortable?
Not uncomfortable, just aware.
Do you think your balls look like Private Pyle's head?
Like Curly Howard's head. Mm-hmm. And they used to look like chimps.
Are they angry?
No, no.
There's no angriness down there?
No, just odd.
Did you talcum them?
I did not.
Anything? Did you put anything on?
You can understand what this is like.
Aftershave?
When you shave your mustache.
That would be like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. Uh-huh.
Vinegar.
No. When you shave your mustache after you've had a beard or a mustache for a long time.
Oh, that feels.
And yet weird feeling of something being naked
that isn't naked.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sure. Cool. Wow, you must have had a lot down there.
Well,
you must have had more than enough hair down there.
Is it not so good?
What's the guy's name?
I'm Ned Ulock.
I like the new sweater.
Not only am I the president of the Pubic Hair Club for Men, I'm also the president.
I have more than enough hair.
I'm also a client.
Down there.
Luckily, most of it fell into the trash can.
Oh. Now I'm going to throw up. Oh, that is so gross.
Here at work.
Get that on eBay.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm going to clone. I'm going to clone my region.
Hope somebody doesn't drop like a piece of candy down there.
Gum.
Go in to retrieve it. You know, they'll think that they found. I found a spider.
Someone dropped a piece of strapping tape into the trash can. What is this? It looks like a horrible toupee.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Honey, did you kill a mouse? Jesus.
All right, we'll be back. Happy holidays. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're great.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
It's me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
George. George.
Yes, sir?
Oh, you're God. Not paid to be a canary.
No, sir. Mr. Gower, do you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do back here?
No.
I'll get them, sir.
Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine's. She's waiting for them.
Yes, not sir. Wrong.
Where did you find this?
In Syria, there, haven't they, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a charge, sir?
What yes, acting?
Charge.
Mr. Gower.
Get going.
Lovely.
Why, that medicine should have been there an hour ago. It'll be over in 5 minutes, Mrs. Blaine. Where's Mrs. Blaine's box of capsules? Did you hear what I said?
The Don and Mike Show.
You bailed on it, huh?
No, he's not retarded.
He bailed early on that one.
Merry Christmas, Christmas come this time.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Let's just take a call, and then we'll get Dude Walker in here. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Hello.
What's happening? Hi there.
I swear to God, I can't stop laughing. When you asked to see Rob's balls.
Okay.
The preceding caller waited on hold for a very long time and then had virtually nothing to say.
He was tickled, so to speak.
Where is Dude Walker?
Dude.
He's here.
Oh, dude.
Dude Walker, he's
guy. Our man.
He's this guy.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Most people know who Dude Walker is.
Man, I wonder if he had to shave. Probably need like one of those garden supply things.
My God, if Rob has a generous.
Oh, my God, look at this. He's got the Santa hat and everything.
Red sweater.
The great Dude Walker. Hi, dude. How are you?
Look at you.
How are you? And happy holidays, Dude Walker.
Nice to see you, children. Santa dude is here. Let's
there he is.
Oh, my goodness.
Santa dude.
Hard to fit over Santa hat.
Putting his headphones on right
now. Oh, let me sit down. Oh, feels better now.
Listen, there's the pipes.
Oh. There he is.
Had a hard time on your old beltway.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Lots of Christmas shoppers, Santa, right, Santa?
Santa caught on the 315 from Yuma.
You know, Santa used to be this jockey in town. People don't remember all the time.
Oh, sure, Dude and Doug.
Yes, Doug and Dude and Doug.
Why don't I just talk to you for a while?
Okay.
And do like Don Rickles did on Tonight Show and ignore the host.
That's right. Treat me like Ed. That'd be fantastic.
I'll try not to stay in character the entire time. Drive you out of your mind.
Yeah, could you estimate how many spots you've done as Santa over the years?
How many spots? Quite a few. I've done more auditions. It's fun to audition.
Yeah, to be Santa.
It is fun because
for some reason Santa's always the same voice.
Yeah, auditioning voice-wise to be Santa Claus,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And then
it's always like this.
That and the Halloween stuff. It's all those strange little spooky and jolly voices.
Exactly.
I love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, you love that stuff too.
It's fun.
So nice to see you guys again.
It is nice to finally see you. We haven't seen you in a couple of years.
I last saw you at the studios in Fairfax.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we've done a couple of sessions ISDN. But then we lost that when you moved here.
Right.
I'm using technicality. ISDN meaning my studio.
Over the phone.
Hooked up to you.
Mm-hmm. Dude
so
is
now
here.
I have to send you stuff directly.
Yeah, he's here in studio with us today. Yeah, normally, when we have him on the show, he's in his studio at home.
Yeah, right.
Like the Grease Man.
And Dude, for those of you that don't know, is a voice guy. He's a guy that you hear on radio and television stations and on TV commercials that does commercials and does voiceover work all around the country. And that's his thing. And he used to be a very successful disc jockey here in the Washington, D.C.
And
market.
This is now what he's most famously known for.
Oh, God.
Merry Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Although the best one is just the one that just says, God damn it.
Yeah, he's been doing that one for years for us.
If I was that successful as a disc jockey, I wouldn't be doing this voiceover.
You did fine.
I did fine, but you know, this is much better. You get to stay in one place for a while.
Sure, and you've been doing this for a long time.
I have been, because before then, I was in city after city. You know, Don, you go from city to city to city, and it's hard to keep a marriage
going. So now you work out of your home, right?
I do that.
How many radio stations / TV stations do you have as clients now?
You know, right now, radio and TV is not as big as it once was for me. Not that I'm not pursuing it.
Pixie!
Career has gone off in other directions. So I do all kinds of narrations and stuff like that.
Well, I know that when I drive around, I'm still the kind of guy that like listens to AM stations at night.
Right.
And
I still am.
I'll hear sporting news radio. And all of a sudden I'll hear, all about the NFL.
Right.
And I'm expecting them to go, God damn it. Sporting news radio. And I still catch you on plenty of radio stations.
Yeah, I would say a couple dozen of each for TV and radio.
But that's a part of your career that's the obvious part of your career. I've always been fascinated by the extra part of your career where you will occasionally be seen in some piece of film or
true.
TV. What is the last one you were talking to us about where you said look for me and I went back and I saw some movie
was
and
it
there
the
you
West,
were
or was it the West Wing
or was it the West Wing that you were on?
I was a reporter on the West Wing, but I was also Minority Report.
Wow. That's right, he's in Minority when you go on, and it's usually when a big group of reporters have you've had speaking parts though, right?
Well, I've had several of them, but the frustrating thing about Minority Report is that there was a nice big scene as a reporter.
Really?
Where I got to question a guy and all that. If you go back, and who's going to do this except you and me, you when the guy is watching the TVs, if you listen, there's one voice that sticks out from reporters on the TV, and that's me. Like, oh, there I am. That's what.
That's pretty pathetic,
that's it.
Dude.
I know.
That is pathetic.
Well, they pay you the same amount of money whether you get cut out or not.
You got to grab everything you can.
Exactly. I brought you gifts.
Oh, you did?
Why, yes.
Wow. We love presents.
Santa Dude has brought you gifts. And where's Santa Dude's headphone volume?
right here.
He's starting to lose his hearing. By the cord.
Here you go, dude. Follow the cord.
Louder or softer,
that's
dude.
Just fine. Good right. for Santa's own. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. I brought you Little Chocolate Godiva. Al Roker statue is here. You're going to love these.
How gay. All right, very nice.
There's one for you. What are you saying about Al?
That's nothing at all.
This is one for you, Don. There you go.
I like the Happy Holiday Dude Walker stickers.
Of course, that way I can write it all.
That's it.
And we've got one here for Buzzy.
Wonderful.
Hello, Buzzy. You've been good this year.
Everybody loves chocolate. Uh-huh. That's fantastic.
One for the man who's about to lose some hair.
Oh, very good.
For
Robbie.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you, dude.
Thank God I don't stay in character. How annoying would that be?
I would like you to, if you don't mind, we would like to put you to work during this segment because you are such a recognizable voice talent. And besides, on air as a DJ, all of the voiceover stuff. I still think you're best just like reading narration, telling a story with your voice.
Okay, good.
Would you mind?
We'll find out. Would you mind?
Would you mind? This is a dry read.
You don't want him to pre-read this, right?
Oh,
no.
That's always fun.
The Legend of Black Peter.
Ah, very good. All right.
I've not heard this. I've not heard
this. Oh, it's a great story.
The front page or just the highlighted part?
He should stick to the highlighted parts, I think.
Just read the highlighted parts?
We can go back if we need more detail.
All right, so now with the beginnings of the story. Hold on, let me see.
There are a lot of highlighted parts here.
My God.
Does he have good light for this?
So I think we turn that light up for him.
All right, let me get some music.
Spoken like a man with eyes over 50 like mine.
Oh, man, that's the first thing to go.
Yes.
And we can now all enjoy the story of Black Peter as told by...
Dude Walker.
Goodness. Dude Walker.
Here
I love
it. Often portrayed as a mischievous or even mean character, parents used to tell their children that if they had been good... Zwarte Piet. What's this?
Zwarte Piet.
Zwarte Piet.
Zwarte Piet. All right. Will bring them gifts and sweets. But if they have been bad, Pete will scoop them up, stuff them in his huge duffel bag, and spirit them away to Spain.
This is the story of Black Peter.
My goodness, who turned the light down?
Oh, that's Rob. The light.
Don't
Rob,
turn the light
down. No, that's
down.
Not I, Rob's I, fault.
I, okay. Do I do what's in parentheses or not? Oh, my God.
This is the Rob highlighted part
okay,
here.
Okay, then it's Spain.
Yes.
We'll pick it up from Spain.
Spain.
Okay. A logical place of origin for the black assistant from the time of submission of heathen Moors during the Reconquista. Reconquista.
No.
We decided we'd give you the most difficult text to read on the show.
God. Though this is he's developed a stutter. Though this is considered increasingly outdated nowadays, he can still carry some type of whip or scourge, especially a birch, which could be used for birching, or in modern words, to chastise children who have been too naughty to deserve presents.
That's what Black Peter does, right?
He takes the kids and he puts them in his bag and he takes them to Spain.
And he hits them with a birch stick?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Birching.
My, what a man. The character of Zwarte Piet is increasingly controversial in its modern interpretation,
right,
which is often similar to blackface and can bring similar social consequences, if you know what I mean.
So it can cause controversy, what he's saying. That's what dude's saying here.
Sure can, dear boy.
Sure there.
During recent years, the role of Zwarte Piet has become part of a recurring debate in the Netherlands. You know, the Nether region.
Sure.
The origin and appearance of Zwarte Piet is seen as a form of racism that promotes a negative stereotype of dark-skinned people as evil, stupid, emasculated, or foolish.
It's very controversial.
Who he?
These same behavior and physical characteristics are shared by the typical character in the condemned early 20th century American tradition, blackface.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it from blackface.
Right.
Blackface. Even though many European countries do not have a high level of exposure to the tradition.
Right.
Since the last decade of the 20th century, there have been several attempts to introduce a new kind of Zwarte Piet to the Dutch population.
Isn't this great? Like you're watching the Discovery Channel.
It's exactly like I felt like I was watching National Geographic.
You are such a talented.
These Zwarte Pieten have replaced the traditional black makeup for all sorts of colors and have been introduced several times in an effort to make Zwarte Piet acceptable to all inhabitants and to create a character that is politically correct.
Very good.
These multicolored Pieten... unpopular amongst the Dutch population and are not catching on.
Oh, they don't like it. They want to go back to the original.
Nay, nay. In 2006, the NPS replaced the black Pieten by those rainbow-colored Pieten, but in 2007, they reverted to the traditional all-black Pieten.
Pieten.
I say hear, hear.
Pieten. I guess Pieten would be Peter.
That's right.
Pater.
Oh, my God. What a story.
Is that it?
Is that it?
That's all I have.
The only highlighted part, the story of Black Peter.
That's right.
Told by Dude Walker on this Christmas show, 2007.
Now that's why you're the greatest, that you can come in off the street, you had no idea the pronunciation, where we were going.
Dude, you might find this interesting.
A beautiful reading.
Rob Spiewak was just fascinated. And then his best buddy Dom was fascinated, too, with the story of Black Peter. They were absolutely riveted by that. And, I remember there was one particular holiday show where we lingered on the Black Peter story for a good two breaks.
Well, you know, a lot of the reason we did was that it bothered Mike so much.
I mean, the criteria for most comedy on this show.
It bothered him to the point where we actually called the Netherlands and called a hotel and got a guy who said, oh, yeah, we know all about Black Peter.
Yeah, they do. Yes, we have him come out in the street with St. Nicholas.
What a strange story.
He travels by boat.
He does.
Yes, he does.
As opposed to sleigh, like our Santa.
Or skates or something.
Yes. From Spain.
Santa Claus has different incarnations all over the world, Rob.
Yes. Sure.
We found that out when you were researching him. Now I remember the pictures.
Here's one of the really great pictures, Mike. Right. These are the type of pictures that made Mike uncomfortable.
Let me see.
Oh.
Because, see, there's Zwarte Piet.
They really did. You've done many more things uncomfortable that have made me more uncomfortable on that. Now that makes me uncomfortable.
Historical.
That's
pictures.
For sure. You show me all your toys. All your little toys. Yes, hey, sorry.
I got a nice salt and pepper shaker.
There it is. I see that.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I see that.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Ceramic there. I'm
very happy. Put it
These
back.
Are racially incorrect.
Do you have the toilet paper roll cover that looks like that? They used to sell those at the roadside down in Kentucky years ago.
That's probably where they would sell
them. You want to talk about ebony and ivory living in perfect harmony?
Yeah.
These racially incorrect salt and pepper shakers live right here, right next to Brett Favre and Peyton Manning.
There it is. Yeah.
There you go. It's equally balanced over there then.
It's a balanced studio.
Yeah, it should be.
You see, I can offer some more balance, although not balanced in size because this is a much larger picture. You have the picture of Robert the Angry Mailman.
Well, that's who that is.
And directly underneath him, the picture, my new favorite, of the Christmas card from Morris Jones.
Oh, my God.
And then the actor from
Paul Scofield.
Well, what have we here?
With a personal greeting to me.
Yeah, here's one of the artist rendition of Zwarte Piet, which looks like something from a bad racial cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Black Peter rides over the rooftops with Sinterklaas, listens down chimneys to check children's behavior, delivers gifts. Even some ask if he's bad. He's extremely popular. The Dutch think even now he's fun-loving and mischievous, and he's a good guy.
So Black Peter,
good guy,
who punishes the children, is more popular in some cases than St. Nicholas,
right?
It's
like Larry King wrote this thing. Uh-huh. And he's a good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy.
So my favorite part is where if the kids have been bad, they go to Spain.
That's They're right. put in a bag. You know what? You say I'm uncomfortable with this. Do you know what I say to my daughters when they really are misbehaving, when I'm being lighthearted about it, Don? You know what I say to them? I swear to God, I could talk to both of them right now, and I say, hey, be careful. I will put you in a bag, and that's all I have to say, and then you'll hear from the bag, and take you to Spain. You know how cute little kids are? And take you to Spain.
Here's a recent addition to our Black Peter file.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from this year in Switzerland. We got a picture of a guy named Schmutzi, S-C-H-M-U-T-Z-L-I.
I see nothing.
It's Schmutzli.
Schmutzli?
Schmutzli.
Dude, if you would be a love and read the bio for Schmutzli.
Schmutzli is nearly all brown.
And now, there's a picture of a guy. This is not like an artist rendition. This is a photograph from a month ago of a guy, looks like a homeless guy in blackface, walking around in Switzerland.
Yes, Schmutzli is nearly all brown, dressed in brown, with, yes, brown hair and brown beard, and a face darkened with lard and soot. He is St. Nicholas's helper in Switzerland.
Another one, right?
He carries a switch and sack, but no longer uses them. Children used to be told that Schmutzli would beat naughty children with the switch and carry them off in the sack to gobble them up in the woods.
Ooh, that's worse than Spain.
Today, there is no more talk of beatings and such kidnappings.
There's no more talk of beatings and kidnappings.
Your children will be kidnapped and don't behave during Christmas.
Oh, God.
Schmutzli will eat you in the woods and back of your house. H-A-U-S.
Outstanding, Guy.
Wow.
You're good. You know, you make me want to put on my jammies with the feeties in them and get to bed.
And hear the story of Schmutzli.
Tell me about Schmutzli. One.
Thank you so much. Don't take me into the backyard and eat me after the Christmas dinner.
Well, we are up on a break. Hey, turn the lights back down.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
That's
I just
right.
couldn't, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bright. Dim in here.
Santa's eyes are
there. It's now. A little dim, and we're a little dim.
Now we got it. Q107 lighting going on in here.
Wonderful.
It's the main music monster in the morning, Dude and Doug on Q107.
Schmutzli, right on cue.
So, dude, let me see. What will you do when you get in your car and leave?
Are you going to any other radio stations bearing gifts of chocolate?
I must to say... rubber balls and liquor.
That's good. Good
I answer. Like it when you say it. Rubber balls and liquor.
What will I do when I get in my car and leave?
Well, there was no easy way to seg into, you know, this is like, well, dude, as always, it's great having you come by. And
such a great holiday visit.
And, we don't want to give you the bum's rush and make you feel like your time here was not appreciated by us. It was.
Oh, Santa understands.
But, of course, we do enjoy the gifts, and we thank you for stopping by. And now, of course, it is time for you to get the hell out. And we do appreciate you stopping by, as usual, dude.
Oh, Santa's not finished.
Santa's not finished
Santa
yet.
Knows where you parked.
And thank you for reading the story of Black Peter.
Yeah.
What? Rob Spiewak writes,
yes.
Dude Walker was a much better Christmas miracle than Morris Jones.
Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Yeah. Absolutely. But you know, Mojo's going to have his feelings hurt now.
He'll try harder next year.
We don't want that.
And just before you leave, do you have any advice for Rob Spiewak with his shaving? Is there any? You've never had to do that.
Oh, my
you?
Goodness. Yes, I have.
You have?
Oh, God.
My best advice is don't look.
Wow.
Don't
look.
Don't look.
That's dangerous, though, isn't it?
I can look while I shave, though, right?
Oh, certainly. But then course, stop looking.
When Dude had to do that, he started on Friday. He ended on the following Wednesday. Unfortunately.
He had to hire three Mexicans.
That's right.
And Schmutzli.
And Schmutzli to come by.
Three big balls.
Oh, my God.
Use a mirror, but not when you're in the sun.
You don't want to get burned where you're not supposed to.
Oh, God. All right, well, where are you going when you get in your car and leave?
I will be getting... I just want to say rubber balls and liquor when he says that.
Happy holidays, dude.
Yes, no, I'm going north. I'm going going to Glastonbury, Connecticut.
Oh, my hometown.
No, I'm just kidding. I said that because it's your
hometown. You always remember that's my hometown. You always get me with it, too.
I know that. Well, there's 6 inches of snow up there.
Oh, that's right. Got to call. You know, you can give this man anything, and he just runs it into the ground.
That is not dirty.
Oh.
Well.
That is not dirty.
Please to explain.
Jesus Christ. Rob, have you seen reflexes like that before? You would have thought he's T.O. catching a touchdown pass as he goes simply, you know, the word is head. You've got a big one, Rob.
Yes, I know.
Use it, please.
Oversized
don't,
head.
Don't hit the button. I mean, how else are we going to tie in what Mike said?
He'd revisit it.
About his mom.
I didn't say anything. I was recanting a story. That, said not your, recanting, recounting a story,
your
she
mom
told me.
Said, well, that Bill Clinton went down just because of a
That's what she said.
I see.
87 years young.
Well, she can say it then.
Sure.
It was in the context of saying that, you know, George Bush has been doing all this. He doesn't get into trouble. And, you know, they persecuted Bill Clinton. All because of it. And I went, Mom!
And she said it.
Don't say that! You Mom! Said the words, Mom!
Now that means she knows what it
Mom!
Is.
Oh, now stop it, please. I'm a Christmas miracle.
She's
please.
Done it.
Now, hey, you know what? Whether that's true or not, those are fighting words.
Only with your dad.
Look at the innocent look. The baby eyes that I
so
get
which
there.
Would you rather have? She's known it all along, or she just found out about it a couple of weeks ago?
I don't want to. You know what? I don't even like the subject.
Right.
My ears are getting hot right now. They truly are. My ears are actually getting
if
hot.
If you do make your way up there, she'll throw a log on the fire for
oh,
you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Say hi to Mary.
I'll do that.
Thank you very much.
See Mike's hot mom.
In the nutmeg state.
87.
Yes.
Hot. You bet. That's the first word that comes into my mind, too. Say hello for me.
Oh, I certainly will.
Very good.
Santa, dude.
Very good.
Ah.
Okay, well, Don and Mike to break.
Okay, dude, happy holidays to you, my friend.
Oh, same to you.
Merry Christmas. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Joe. JFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, like this. Here, I want to put the nuts in it.
Okay, there we go. Thanks for it. And we got it!
Yeah.
Oh, for one brief moment, I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh. Fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word, the big one, the queen mother of dirty words, the F-dash-dash-dash word.
What did you say? That's what I thought you said.
The Don and Mike Show.
I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and we're all in misery.
Merry f***ing Christmas. From the Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, Bob Barker?
Beautiful.
Good.
Wow.
Go talk about my mama.
Not talking about your mama today.
Has been talking about my mama today.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style.
Yeah.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Sure.
Right? The ultimate CEO?
Happy birthday.
Biggest celebrity of them all?
Right.
Who's down with G-O-D?
I am. Me too.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm 3 out of 4. 3 out of 4. That's not bad, Buzz.
3 out of 4 believers.
Me. Yeah. This is a good Christmas song, but
darn it.
This one's good, too.
Man.
This might be our funniest Christmas song.
Rocking around Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
I sure am hungry.
Later we'll have some f***ing pie.
Wow. Oh, Brenda Lee Potty Mouth.
BL.
So simple.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So effing funny.
Brilliant. She's nasty.
Maybe we'll have some effing pie.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Louis Jelly. How y'all getting along?
Oh, there he is.
Louis Jelly, this is the guy. Oh, the guy played me in Stump the Stoop this
year.
That's right.
I got the money yesterday, and I want to thank you and wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy hangover and all that good stuff.
Louis Jelly, are you blind?
Yes, sir.
Right. I thought so. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy your check for 99 cents.
I'll do that. I appreciate that. And just one thing. I hope in 2008, Batman, the television series, will finally come out on DVD.
Because you enjoy watching it. I mean, listening to it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how much did you win on the show, really?
$100.
$100.
I'm going to get me a woman.
Did we send him a check for $100, or did we?
We don't need to, you know, get into details. Just make sure that it gets deposited. Maybe go to the night deposit.
Well, I like the idea. If we get him the money, he's going to get a woman. I like that.
That's right.
No, I'm kidding. He got the money. How do you know? Here's a question. Seriously, when you win money from a radio station and you get a check, how do you know that we gave you the amount that we said we would give you?
Because somebody told me.
Yeah, I would assume for checks and stuff in the mail, you have to have a little bit of assistance, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. A little bit, at least.
Uh-huh. Like you get a helper that comes in and goes over your mail
for
you?
No, I just go downstairs and to the first person I see, tell me what it is, and then I let them open it.
I have a question for you, Louis. You were talking about Batman coming out on DVD.
Yeah.
Did you ever have your sight? Do you remember watching Batman?
Yes. When I was little. Ah.
So the audio cues will help you remember it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
The splock and the splat and the splap and the whatever they do with them letters.
Gotcha. Right. Hey, listen, Louis Jelly, look forward to taking you on and Stump the Stoop in the coming year, my friend.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it as well, and I enjoy your show every afternoon.
Have a Merry Christmas.
And a happy hangover.
Right, and a happy hangover to you, too.
That's LJ.
And he's probably the best guy that's ever taken you on and Stump the Stoop.
We'd like to bring him into studio.
Yeah.
And do it one-on-one.
He was incredible.
Way.
I mean, really. And over the phone, that's hard to do.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don, I just realized something. Black Peter, Charlie's birthday, Aunt Lola. This is the last one we're going to get, right?
Certain things are not allowed to be spoken of on the show.
Thank you for that.
All right.
Bye-bye.
But enjoy.
Here's a great tape that we play on Christmas time, and we never let this one go all the way through. It's about, it's in two parts, about 3 minutes. It's when Santa Claus is on Larry King's show.
Oh, yeah.
This is part one here.
Oh, oops, I got him backwards. Okay, part one, part two.
Now, this is Larry King terrorizing youngsters.
Uh-huh. First off, it's the worst Santa Claus ever.
Santa Claus is so unprepared. I mean, he couldn't even do the thing with kids on his lap in a mall, much less be on television.
Right. This is on the Larry King CNN TV show.
Oh, I don't know. And you know, he's just, you know what it is? He's a guy probably, you know, a fat white guy that looks like Santa Claus, and that's the only reason he got the gig.
Very visual.
And very visual.
He's not even really fat. Wow. He looks skinny. Looks right. Like he's got the padding.
He's got the white beard, though.
Yeah, and he does not do the I'm putting on the ho-ho-ho voice.
Which I think is criminal.
It's scary, really.
And what's even scarier is Larry King, all hunched. I mean, his shoulders are totally above his ears.
And as a broadcaster, Larry King trying to work with this guy who's giving him nothing. So Larry now has kids who he's uncomfortable with, and he has a guest who Larry can ask the dumb questions of, and the guest isn't responding. So it's putting Larry in that hyper mode, which is terrorizing the youngsters.
Yeah, and I believe, because I don't want to stop the tape, as long as we're thinking what's on this, I think at one point he gets real feisty with the kids, and right. He says, like, you, in the sweater, what's the question?
Quick!
Go!
Quick.
And also, this is where we first got the Larry inflection. Stay away from the greasy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So this is an important in the Larry King hierarchy. Yes.
And then he starts the, he wants the Santa Claus song. So he starts it out
yeah.
with,
yeah. Everybody clear your throat.
It's painful on a little, a lot of different levels.
It's yeah. really magical.
Happy holidays.
This is the only live worldwide talk presentation. We are being seen in well over 150 countries tonight watching the real Santa Claus with a bunch of wonderful kids. And we're sorry about our system failure on phone calls. By next year, we'll have it straightened out. Okay, the young man here, right here with the multicolored shirt.
My name is Wendell. What will happen if your reindeer gets sick?
The reindeer gets sick? Well, good question, Wendy, baby.
We just can't afford that. There just can't be any sick reindeer.
Okay, you get it. It happens.
That's the first punt.
I suppose it can, but we just have to nurse them through the best.
You've never had that. You've never had a sick reindeer.
Well, I've heard when we got back that things were in pretty bad shape.
But they always fly, right?
Santa.
They always get the job done.
Horrible Santa.
Okay, this we're gentleman here in the green sweater.
My name is Taylor, and
your name is Taylor, and her name is Taylor.
And
your name is Taylor.
What if you're sick?
What if I'm sick?
Ah.
Well, I tell you, there have been times when I really didn't feel the really right up snuff, and I had to get Mrs. Claus to let her know that things weren't right. And
I mean, really, how hard is it?
It's like Dale Earnhardt Jr. pretending to be Santa.
This is a guy who's pretending to be Santa all year.
Do you have a doctor?
Here we go.
Do you have a doctor?
That's right. Leave off the fat
stuff.
The cholesterol.
Stay away from the greasy. You're right.
Yep.
Do you have a doctor? You take antibiotics?
Oh, God.
Well, no, I don't take antibiotics. I don't need them. I'm in good shape.
Okay, what we worry about?
Oh, I'm glad.
Well, thank you very much.
This young man right here.
Do you know what I want for Christmas?
What do you want for Christmas? Quick.
Policeman uniform.
You got it.
Wow.
Larry. So he asked the whole question about, you know, what do you do if the reindeer gets sick and Santa's lost?
Yeah.
Santa can't, you know, all you have to do is, I give them magic oats and they're never sick again.
And then Larry says to Santa, what if you get sick? And Santa says, I don't get sick.
I don't get sick. Mrs. Claus makes me. I don't have an answer for you, Larry.
You take antibiotics? antibiotics?
I'm just looking forward to getting out of this red suit and going back to my house down in Sarasota, Florida.
You're right, Robbie. He does throw in there. Stay away from the greasy.
Stay away from the greasy because he's right. That's just a few years after the heart attack.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Now we're all going to sing a song for our man here. Ready?
Please. Our man.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Hot breath.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
Cigarette breath, even though it isn't smoke anymore.
He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or
I hate Larry singing.
Idiot.
I love it.
Sakes. Oh, you better watch out.
And gamble.
You better not cry.
On the ponies.
You better not shout. I'm telling you why.
Right.
Santa Claus is coming
Chase Blondes.
To town. Merry Christmas, boys and girls. Say Merry Christmas to Santa. They're going to have autographed pictures for all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. See you tomorrow night with Carl Sagan and Tony Bennett and Garrison Keillor for Santa and the whole gang and
back to his comfort zone.
The Muppets. Good night.
Good night.
Will I have autographed pictures? Wow.
Then he's probably going right back into real Larry mode where it's like,
why do you favor rape?
Why'd you give me that one? Why'd you get the one?
That was funny.
Why'd you give me the Santa that could talk? Jesus. All I did was ask him, and the kids weren't lively enough.
You, gentleman in the green sweater.
Multicolored sweater.
Gentlemen.
Down in the front.
It's a five-year-old.
What do you want? You got it.
Quick. You got it.
Quick.
Listen, we'll have autographed pictures for each and every one of them. Stay away from the greasy.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Larry.
Wow.
I'm Larry from the corner.
Let's now go way, way, way back. Let's go way back to Beatles time.
Okay. Okay.
Way back to when the Beatles were the innocent mop tops. They used to send out a record. If you were in the Beatles fan club, every year you got a 45 RPM record. In the mail. This is the first.
Good King Wenceslas last looked out on the feast of Stephen as the slow ray round about, deep and crisp and crispy, brightly showed the boot last night on the musty cruel.
Like 63.
Paul and David.
Just making it up.
Betty Grable, too.
Hello, this is John speaking with his voice. We're all very happy to be able to talk to you like this on this little bit of plastic. This record reaches you at the end of a really gear year for us, and it's all due to you. When we made our first record on Parlophone towards the end of 1962, we hoped everybody would like what we'd already been our type of music for several years already. But we had no idea of all the gear things in store for us.
And I'm always blown away by this. So innocent.
How about the use of the word gay? That's really used as
gear.
It was a happy.
Huh?
Yeah, the word is gear. That was the hot word at the time, gear.
I thought he was saying gee with that English accent.
No, gear.
Gear?
Right.
I'm just stuck on John Lennon, that it's a young, full of promise.
Yeah.
Not the John Lennon that was writing the great songs at the end about how crappy our world was.
I'm just blown away that he says gear and not gee.
That was what they said in Britain back then.
Really, gear.
Yeah. Right.
So gear was cool.
That was it.
All right.
That's
such a simpler time, really. I know it's like looking through, the rose-colored glasses, but Jesus Christ.
Early 60s.
What a great time.
It all happened, really, when Please Please Me became a number one hit, and after that, well, caught a blimey's heather no. Our biggest thrill of the year, well, I suppose it must have been topping the bill at the London Palladium, and then only a couple of days later being invited to take part in the Royal Variety Show.
To put it in the timeline, this is 3 months before they were even on Ed Sullivan. So they really not even gone to where they were even starting to go yet.
This time last year, we're all dead chuffed because Love Me Do got into the top 20. And we can't believe, really, that so many things have happened in between already. Just before I pass you over to Paul, I'd like to say thank you to all the Beatle people who have written to me during the year and everyone who sent me gifts and cards for my birthday, which I'm trying to forget, in October. I'd love to reply personally to everyone, but I just haven't enough pens. In the meantime, Gary Crimble to you, Gary Mimble to you, Getty Babel, dear Christmas, happy birthday, me too.
This is Paul here. Everything that John said goes for me too, especially the bit about birthday cards and the parcels, because all our homes and offices got stacks of mail last June.
Ow!
Well, it was my birthday. Anyway, we're all dead pleased by the way you've treated us in 1963. And we're trying to do everything we can to please you with the type of songs we write and record next year. Oh, yeah. Somebody asked us if we still like Jelly Babies. Well, we used to like them. In fact, we loved them. And we said so in one of the papers, you see. Ever since then, we've been getting them in boxes.
I mean, stop and think about this for a second. This is the same guy who now, his ex-wife, with the prosthetic leg, was just on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, a lot of time has passed.
This same simple, down to earth guy
talking about candy and having his fans send him candy.
Where he is today, everything he's been through,
incredible.
That's all.
Packets and crates. Anyway, we've gone right off Jelly Babies, you see. But we still like Peppermint Creams and Chocolate Drops and Dolly Mitchell's and all those sort of things, don't we?
Yes, yes, oh yes.
Well, lots of people asked us what we enjoy best, you see. Concert and television or recording. We like doing stage shows because, it's great to hear an audience enjoying themselves. But the thing we like best, I think so anyway, is going into the recording studio.
Yeah, lovely. We enjoy that
Love
very
that,
kindly.
To make new records. which is what we've been doing all day before we started on this special message. Well, what we like to hear most is one of our songs, you know, taking shape in a recording studio, one of the ones what John and I have written. And then listening to the tapes afterwards to hear how it all worked out, you see. Well, I'm running over my time and people are telling me to stop.
Like, stop, Ringo, stop! 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 Stop shouting
so,
those animals!
I'll finish now with it. Wishing everyone happy Krimble and a Merry New Year, and especially all the ones who paid the subscription.
Ja, das wird und Dankeschön und den Grüß von Eben. Ja, den Grüß von Eben schon. Ja, das wird wunderschön, boy. Dankeschön.
Yeah, Ringo.
Hello, Ringo here. As you know, I was the last member to...
Hey, Buzz.
Hi. Johnny Ringo.
Johnny Ringo.
I joined the Beatles. I started to play drums in the group 1962. I've been a couple of other groups.
Oh, just wish the people merry, happy. Go on, for Christmas.
Merry, happy New Year. And folks, happy Christmas and May everything you wish be granted.
Singers Wenceslas, King Wenceslas.
King Wenceslas.
Well, good King Wenceslas last looked down on the feast of Stephen. When the snow was on the ground, deep and crisp and even.
Thank you, Ringo. Thank you, Ringo. We'll phone you. I'm George Harrison. Nobody else has said anything yet about our fan club secretaries, Anne Collingham and Bettina Rose. Not to mention Frida Kelly in Liverpool.
Get out, Frida!
So on behalf of us all, I'd just like to say a great big thank you to Anne, Bettina and Frida for all the hard work they've done. And we just hope you can go on pleasing you for a
keep
long
screaming.
Time. Because it's your reaction to our records that really matters. And I'd just like to say, brightly was the shone that night. Though the winter cruel, when a pork pie came inside, gathering winter cruel.
Rudolph, no grain day, had a very shiny nose, when everybody told him.
Nicky the red-nosed Negro,
had a very shiny nose.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You know, I picture them in the studio after they've done some real recording, very late at night or in the wee hours of the morning doing that. That's what that sounds like in a brightly lit one of those old 1960 recording studios.
When we come back, we'll hear the next year with the Beatles, the entire 1964 greeting, and then we'll cut it right to the end and let you hear the entire...
See how they changed.
1969 greeting. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
They're good.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, we've got to find that money.
I've no good deal.
Uncle Billy, look, do you realize what's going to happen if we don't find it? Well, listen to me. Do you have any secret hiding place here in the house? Someplace you hide the money?
I've gone over the whole house, even in rooms that have been
locked.
Listen. Retard, Uncle Billy.
Come on.
I can't think anymore, George.
Get mad at him, George.
Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool?
There you go.
Where's that money? Do you realize what this means?
Mm-hmm.
It means bankruptcy
prison.
And scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
Tell him, George.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
You're rough for funny, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right? Stop that.
That's
it's
silly.
Very silly indeed.
That's very silly.
Why?
Well, why?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Hi, Larry.
Now talk about my mama.
Now, some of these tapes just don't work with the Christmas songs, do they?
No, they really don't. Anytime you play Uncle Billy leading into a segment, I enjoy it.
It doesn't work.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
As a matter of fact, it's quite perverse.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
This should be entitled A Very Disturbing Christmas.
I will go till you tell me to stop. Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me? I carry a gun everywhere I go. I like rape.
A perverted justice Christmas. Yes, you too.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
You too can get the Chris Hansen box set for Christmas.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
During the holidays, review some of the greatest perverts we've had on the show.
I'll be the one going to take off your clothes?
It's the Chris Hansen box set.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Now for the holidays.
We're going to take a shower, both of us.
I would love to make wild, passionate love to you.
Make somebody's Christmas extra special this year.
You go naked in bed when I see you Sunday.
This Christmas, it's Chris Hansen and the
Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Get the box set and see why Chris will always ask the question.
I like rape.
Well, it's Larry that asked the question.
Why do you favor rape?
Sorry, Chris.
I like rape.
Why?
Why? Larry.
You go naked in bed when I see you Sunday.
That was funny.
Thank you, Larry.
Why men's rooms?
I'll just be your secret lover.
Anyway, you know, it does seem that, yes, Chris Hansen kind of wiped out the spirit of the Christmas song.
He sure with, did.
You go naked in bed. Yeah. We gathered outside the Christmas lights of this house in the suburbs.
Happy, happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas there. Let's be politically correct and say it, goddamn. Merry Christmas. Merry
happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Whatever. Hey, it's Christmas time.
Hey.
We still have the Hamburger James story to get to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We still got a
thousand. Late in the show this year, Don.
Still got $1,000 to give away.
Wow. How you feeling? I don't care about it.
How you feeling?
Not too good.
Charlie, hold on. Hold on for a couple more Beatles tapes.
Why? Why do I always have to wait?
I promise next break, all Charlie.
Can I eat my chocolate?
All Hamburger James.
I want to eat my chocolate.
Knock your socks off.
Dude gave me chocolate.
I know we did.
Cheap.
He got you Godiva chocolate. That's
still cheap.
Why is it cheap? Is it hollow?
You can dress this up. It's still chocolate. Where's my money clip? But anyway, you were playing the Beatles. I like the way you do a retrospective on them.
Oh, Charles.
Smart. Oh, smart, Charlie.
No, it's fun that you look backward from the early 60s all the way till the psychedelic era where they were dropping acid.
Let's pick this up in 1964.
All right.
I'll see you next break.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye.
So long.
And by this time, they are... You know,
is this 69?
They're the bee's knees. No, this is 64.
64. Okay, so
they are hot as balls.
They're the hottest thing there.
Everywhere in the world.
Jingle bell. Hello, everybody. This is Paul, and I'd just like to thank you all for buying our records during the past year. We know you've been buying them because the sales have been very good, you see. Don't know where we'd be without you, really, though.
In the army, perhaps.
Oh, we hope you've enjoyed listening to the records as much as we've enjoyed melting them. No, that's wrong. Making them. We're in number 2 studio at the moment at EMI, taping this little message for you.
Yes, we are.
We are, indeed. I just thought I'd make the... This is the same studio we've used all along since the old days of Love Me Do.
So many years ago, it seems.
Oh,
the old of the days.
Well, that's about all, I think. Except to wish you all a happy Christmas and a very new year. Now I'll pass you over to John. John?
John speaking. Thanks all of you who bought me book. Thank you, folks, for buying it. It was very handy. And there's another one out pretty soon, it says here. Hope you buy that too. It'll be the usual rubbish, but it won't cost much. You see? That's the bargain we're going to strike up.
All right, that's 63.
You know, 64. That's 64 right there, right?
Here's 65.
Okay.
Trouble seems so far away. Now it looks as though we're here to stay. I believe in yesterday.
Don't forget, Christmas is coming. Oh, that reminds me. Let's do a Christmas record.
Let's do a Christmas record.
Yeah, what should we say?
That's a good idea.
We've got to thank everyone. Remember to thank.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can't ad-lib too much because you miss. Well, thank you, Johnny. It's been nice to know you.
Got to thank everyone for all the presents this year.
Yes.
And all for buying the records.
Yeah, especially the chewed up pieces of chewing gum and the playing cards made out of knickers.
On behalf of
still loving, still fun loving, still innocent.
Still enjoying life.
For all the Christmas cards and presents and birthday cards and presents and everything, too.
as well.
On behalf of George and I, I'd just like to thank you all for the Christmas present and all the rest of it.
Thank you. Well, Ringo, what have we done this year?
I see you haven't shaved again.
Well, Ringo, what have we done this year?
We've done a lot of things this year, Paul.
Yes.
Well, we've been away.
Yes.
And like last year.
We've come back on it.
All
right. Now, here's the next year. And this is the great thing. If you are a Beatles fan, uh-huh. in the fan club.
You got this. It was a 45, right?
Yeah. Every year you got a record in the mail. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I was happy I had. And I still have my original collection, mm-hmm. but we burned them onto disc. And now you can just do a Google search and you can find them. In the
right. Right.
And the quality is really pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere it's Christmas. Everywhere.
And we've played the crap out of this.
65, this is?
65, 66.
Tokyo, Hong Kong.
Bam, bam, bam.
Everywhere it's Christmas.
And I'm off to join the charm.
Everywhere is Christmas.
At the end of every year.
Oh, everywhere is Christmas. At the end of every year.
And again, happy madcap. Zany.
One more time. Now. Everywhere.
Really great because it's stream of consciousness that they would just print out on a record and send it to the fans. You get this thing every year and put it.
They're just
here.
Kind of playing in a studio like after they were doing their serious recording.
On the veranda is a bearded man in glasses conducting a small choir.
We are now moving into what I like to call the DRUG time. Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to tell.
Let's move to the next year.
Interplanetary remix.
Well, Robbie?
67, right?
67.
It's 1967. Interplanetary remix, page 444.
This is how the record starts in 67. Now,
right.
Just think in context when you heard back in 63 when it was like, hey, this is Paul, this is John.
Hi, we're very happy that you sent us all these wonderful things. We really like all the candies that you sent us.
And now they're going out.
Here it is 4 years later.
Interplanetary remix, page 444.
Still making sense, though.
Yep. Barely holding on to it. But yeah, you would put this on your record player and you'd say, all right, the Beatles have sent me out another great Christmas
record.
It's
just for me.
Boys arrive at BBC House.
What do you want?
We have been granted permission, O wise one.
Pass in peace.
And now again, they're getting a little esoteric. Mm-hmm. Let's move to the next year. 68.
Hello, this is a big hi and a sincere Merry Christmas from yours truly, Ringo Starr.
Crazy cats.
Happy New Year, happy Christmas, happy Easter, happy autumn, happy Michaelmas, everybody. Happy Christmas, everybody.
That's Ringo, isn't it? Singing. I think that might be Ringo singing.
Like Ringo or John.
It sounds to me like they left it up to Ringo this year.
I'd like to wish everybody happy Christmas this year of 1968, going on 69. Happy Christmas, happy New Year, all the best to you from here.
And then it gets weird. It's like you're watching a Fellini film or something.
It's like you're watching a Beatles movie.
And then here's the last one that they sent out.
And they didn't send any more after this.
This was it.
Now, you lads, have you just shout Happy Christmas for us at this stage? Hey?
Happy Christmas?
Yeah. Got one, two, three.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you. Happy Christmas.
Yoko.
Garden with your wife, Yoko. But, do you have any special thoughts for Christmas?
Well, Yoko, it is Christmas, and my special thoughts, of course, tend towards eating.
All right, so eating.
You know, that tells you really.
And how do you think Beatles fans reacted to that? Like, loved
it. Imagine this is the first one you get.
Good King Wenceslas, last look out.
And they're saying, hi, it's Paul, it's John, it's George's Ringo.
I'm very happy to have you all here with
us. Look at this.
Now, you lads, have you just shout Happy Christmas for us at this tape? Hey?
Happy Christmas?
Yeah. Got one, two, three.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you, same to you. Happy Christmas.
In Ascot Garden with your wife, Yoko. But
you know what? This is 7 minutes long. We're going to just fast forward it to the last 30 seconds.
Okay.
So you get into the last 30 seconds of whatever it is the Beatles said on their Christmas record.
And I would imagine, well, that's right before they broke up anyway,
yeah,
right? And
yeah.
With Yoko, I would imagine the fans were like, oh, where are the rest of the guys? Even with the Ringo one the year before, it's like, where? I want them to talk to us.
All right, so here's the last 30, 40 seconds.
And a train set.
A melting train set, then.
And a man on the moon that goes on the moon and down to the moon.
An ice cream moon.
That's right. And lots 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 and lots.
A little different than when they started out.
The beginning of sampling.
That's it.
Oh. Thank you, Yoko.
That's the last record.
And that was it. No more innocent little records being sent out to the fans on a 45.
Right. All right. Well, enough of that. Let's celebrate a great man's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some pizza. Mm-hmm. Let's get some ice cream.
Yeah. He's out of control. He's on a sugar high. He did eat some chocolate.
Oh, no, he didn't eat it all, did he?
No, nah, he's outside. He's climbing one of the trees trying to eat a crow.
Oh. Ah, it's that time.
He will need the door.
Charlie's
he will need the door. This
Hamburger
day.
James story coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Looks like baby vomit.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
As you know, I was determined to make my gift this year a little more meaningful. And after a great deal of effort, I believe I have. My gift does not come from some fancy store, all wrapped in glittery paper. My gift comes from my heart. Tonight, I intend to sit each one of you down and tell you in my own words exactly how much you mean to me.
That's it? Yeah. That's the cheapest thing ever. Are you out of your mind?
Or I could get someone over to give us all massages.
Oh, great!
Well, then,
oh,
thank
you! Hey, man.
Hey.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
It would be almost time for Christmas. It was the time for the Hamburger James story.
Yeah. It's my birthday.
Yesterday was your birthday, Charlie.
Today's my birthday.
Charlie, yesterday was your birthday.
I'm celebrating my birthday today.
Charlie. Charlie, hold on. Charlie, into the microphone.
Jesus.
I know. Got to talk into the mic.
I'm not the thing off the microphone, Don.
Charlie.
I knocked the thing off.
You got to give it some space, Charlie.
Here it is.
How old is he now, Robbie?
There it is, Charlie.
Look, it's...
Now, Charlie, do you remember the date of your birth?
No.
Come on, try.
No, come on, you try.
December 13th.
You try, Rob.
Come on, Rob. You're the one that
you
made it
try,
up.
You try, Rob.
Didn't make it up.
Speewax.
It's on your birth certificate.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Hi, Joe.
Your friend Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Happy Crimble. Merry Crimble. Crimble, Crimble.
It's lucky, Charlie, that I wrote down the date because the birth certificate was lost in the orphanage
That's
fire.
Right. An old letter writer who had recorded it also.
December 13th, 1940.
I'm 68.
67.
Huh?
What?
Don't do that to me.
67.
Huh?
What?
Who wants to hear a story?
You got the Hamburger James story.
Right here, Charlie.
It's my birthday yesterday.
Yeah, you were 67.
Happy it's birthday. A birthday. Charlie's celebrating a birthday.
What'd you do?
I'd like to say Happy Crimble. That's like the Beatles. Yeah. I'd like to say Merry Christmas to everyone and Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish friends.
Did you get any birthday presents?
No.
Nothing from your brother?
What? Nothing. He can't buy.
I know.
He's in a wheelchair.
Thought maybe on the internet.
He can't buy gifts.
He can't use the internet.
He can't feed himself. How can you expect him to get me gifts?
He's a paraplegic, right?
Really? He's a everything plegic.
Wow.
No, man, he can't do...
Matthew?
He can't do dick.
Charlie.
Can you say that on the radio?
Sure.
You can, yes.
He can't do dick.
Matthew
can't do squat.
What'd you do for your birthday, Charlie?
I went out myself.
Where'd you go? Good guys?
No, I didn't do that. I went out.
You didn't set anybody on fire this time, did you?
Don't tell. That's a good joke. You told me that joke a couple months ago.
Yes.
No, I went out to a local Tony's. Just the local Tony's.
Tony's?
Tony's. Tony's.
Tony's.
Tony's pizza.
Oh, Tony's pizza. Oh, Tony's.
That's my favorite birthday food. He gave me a free. He gave me one large, and then he threw in a medium for free because it was my birthday.
Oh. Nice.
And then I went to B&R and had Rocky Road Baskin Robbins. Yeah. And then I went home and I worked all night like I've been doing the last 3 months.
Working.
What have you been working on?
I'm making meth. I'm making crystal meth.
That's dangerous.
Oh, it's dangerous, but it's so much money. I might even be able to buy a new car by the spring.
Are you good at it?
I'm fantastic at it. I can carry boxes with all the chemicals. Sometimes it takes two people to carry them. I carry two boxes at once, and I bring them all up, and I don't worry if there's a fire or nothing because I'll heal. That's the way it normally works, Don. Right. I'm making crystal meth, the finest in the land.
I remember that one time you cut off your finger and it just grew right back.
Right away. During the show. Not right away. It didn't just pop out, but it grows back.
Oh, it was very
kind of slow-like, you know what I mean?
Oh, you're like the Terminator.
I am like the Terminator. Arnold! Arnold! Arnold!
Well, hey, listen. Let me be a client.
Uh-huh.
And you be the dealer.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So do I. First off, how do I know, Charlie?
I deal to wholesalers.
Oh, you don't read.
Wholesalers. I don't deal with like the guys that sell it on the street. I deal with big purchases, tons of it.
I'm a big guy from a cartel.
Okay.
I just want to buy a boatload of meth.
How much you want?
A kilo.
A kilo? Mm.
A kilo of meth. Mm.
I just made about 10. I got 10 kilos. Got 10 kilos, keeping them in my garage of my townhouse in Hyattsville, Maryland.
How much is a kilo?
A quarter.
Quarter of what?
Quarter. A quarter.
25
cents? A quarter.
Cents?
Like a quarter change that you use. Silly. It's a quarter, 25 cents.
Okay, so.
25 cents a kilo. I give you four for a dollar. I'll give you five for a dollar.
Because
that's the way I'm feeling.
That's a deal, Charlie.
That's my meth.
It's Christmas.
Charlie's crystal meth. And it's got a Charlie on it. C-H-A-R-L-Y. Charlie's meth, ready and willing.
How do you buy?
I don't. The guy told me that started me in the business.
Yeah.
He said, Charlie, whatever you do, and I do this.
Yes.
Whatever you do, don't mess with the merchandise. Like, don't take it.
Oh.
Don't eat it, don't smoke it, don't shoot it.
Right.
I don't go near that stuff.
Good.
Because it's bad for you. It makes your teeth all rotten. It gives you wrinkles. It makes you stupid. It makes you real stupid. The stupid fresh thing.
You don't want
your
that.
Your ears to the nasty.
The nasty.
I have today's forecast for you. Hot. I love this show. I really do. I love all the different stuff you play. Hello, Robert.
Robert the mailman.
Look at the hat he's got on.
Now, does Robert the mailman do crystal meth?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What? Yeah, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't buy it from me because I only deal with
wholesalers.
Wholesalers distribute my meth for a quarter a kilo.
Wow. How do you stay in business with those prices?
Because it's, you know, the chemicals are inexpensive. I make, on a good week, I make $30. $30. That's working. That's working, though.
Pure profit.
Yeah, all profit. Mm-hmm. It's all profit. I'm raking it in.
How do you manage to go to the CVS and or the Duane Reade, whatever it is, and buy mass quantities of...
That's the key.
Is it Sudafed?
That's the key. You know how I do it?
How?
Matthew, my brother.
Oh.
Matthew, my brother, is very, very sick, and they buy it everywhere. I can go, I said, I need more. He's not going to be able to breathe.
But he's a para-
and they give me Sudafed, tons of it, buckets of it.
But he's a paraplegic.
Yeah, but he can't. But I say he can't breathe. He can't talk or move or anything. So I say, he can't breathe. Need more of the stuff. Need more cold medicine. They just pile it on. They don't think I'm making meth. It's the scam of scams.
Where do you get the capital?
Where do I get the capital? What's capital?
The money. Who supplied you with the money when you started this business?
The guy. The guy. I don't know what his name is.
A guy.
Can you describe
Mr.
Him?
Man. Huh? He's short, he's bald, he wears a plaid shirt with suspenders, and he smells a little bit.
Sounds like Alan Goodman to me.
What? Nothing.
Is Alan Goodman your guy?
No.
Does he?
No, he's not, Don.
Does he have
no,
a
he's not.
Does he
no.
Have, does he
no,
have,
no, no.
Does he have a
no,
twin?
No, no, no. Don't make me. He said if the name got on the show, I'd be in trouble.
Is this?
Oh, I blew it now.
Is this your contact?
Oh,
dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
Oh, no.
I made it out
no,
of
it's
clay.
Not.
And when it's dry
turn
and ready, then dreidel I will
turn
play.
It off.
That's Alan Goodman.
No, he.
Words, but neither do
Don.
You.
You're getting meth from Alan Goodman.
Don, you're going to get me in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble. Please don't talk like that. Please, 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 please. You get me in trouble, and he's going to yell. He's going to get Charlie. You retard! Look what you did. Please don't do that to me, for the love of God.
Weren't you his mule?
Nah. Rupert!
Weren't you his mule for a lot of years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would go to, what's that country? It's not California.
Canada?
It's not.
No,
Canada's not a country.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right.
God. It's not
starts
California.
Starts with a C, doesn't it, Charlie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not Costa Rica.
Colorado. No.
Not Colorado.
No. Cuba?
No.
No. Where it's where they have coffee. It's where they make coffee.
Starbucks.
No, shut up, Rob. That's not right. I don't remember. But, yeah, I would go down, and what they would do is they would have me, they'd put they put the stuff in the condom.
What?
And then I'd eat a whole bunch of it.
Wow.
And I could eat more than the girls they used. And because I was a little slow, they let me right through security.
Was it Columbia?
All the time. I was a mule.
Was it Columbia?
Columbia!
Yeah.
Columbia, that's the state.
Good old Columbia.
That's it, Don. And I was a mule for, 9, 20 years or so. I don't know. I was a mule for a long time. One time, one of them broke, and I hit a flight attendant hard. Damn near killed her. Give her right cross, right
Charlie,
to the jaw. Yes, Don?
Seriously.
Seriously. Mono and mono.
What does Santa Claus think of you being a meth dealer?
Probably don't like it too much.
Santa Claus doesn't like drug dealers,
but
Charlie.
But I give food to my brother who can't eat him and can't feed himself. So that means it's good, right?
No.
Come on now. You give the food. If you give food to someone who can't make or find food, that's good, right?
You're talking like Larry King, right?
Yeah, I'm talking. Larry King, he's old. He is right? So old.
He's old, right?
Y'all better not cry. Larry King. But he married a young wife, and he had kids. And when the kids are like, even like 10, he's going to be dead.
Charlie, what does Christmas mean to you this year?
Okay. Can I have Christmas music to tell?
Oh, certainly.
I want Christmas means... that everyone should gather at the place they're supposed to go to and be nice. And what? Then exchange...
At your meth lab.
Stop. You're confusing me.
What does Christmas
mean
to
Christmas
you, Charlie?
Means everybody should gather at the place they go to and say, I love you because you're my friend and my family. And I really want you to have a good day. And it's really important because the baby Jesus is not going to blow up the world this time, because everything's going to be good. So here's a present, because we lived another year, and I want you to have it. And, ooh, yours is bigger than mine. What is it? I don't know. Oh, mine sucked. Yours was terrible. Hey, he got a better one, too. I'm jealous. And that's what Christmas means to me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's very nice.
Nicely told.
Oh, and Santa Claus. And candy. And a turkey.
What about Hanukkah?
And a big ham.
What about Hanukkah? Explain Hanukkah to me.
I don't know no Jews. I don't know any of them.
About Kwanzaa?
Robert told me that's a better holiday than Christmas is.
Really? Hey, Alan Goodman's a Jew.
Oh, that's right. I never asked him about Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to my big supplier, Alan Goodman. Because you, Alan, at this time of Chanukah, are a good man.
Charlie,
I know what you do on Hanukkah.
What do you do?
You light the torch.
The Olympic torch, that's right.
Yeah. You light the torch and then it burns forever. Right?
That's absolutely right.
That's the way it works. And for Kwanzaa is for our black friends that get together and celebrate their holiday. It's Christmas with black people.
It's hip-hop.
Okay. Whatever you say. Hip-hop with black people.
What
and then we have Hanukkah, we have Kwanzaa, and we have Christmas.
For Kwanzaa, you get your Belle Biv DeVoe album out.
I know that. That's an act.
Or Kool Moe Dee.
Why do you call them acts? You were listening to music one time and said, that's a great act. I don't get that. It's a song, Don. It's a song, Don.
Charlie, do I tell you how to make your math?
No, you don't.
Don't tell me how to talk about my songs.
No, you don't. Don't step on that thing. Don't step on that. That's fun.
How many days in a row have you gone without sleep?
Oh, man. I swear to God, I don't remember the last time I put my head on a pillow. Huh. I don't know. I really don't. It's been a long time, but I don't require.
What?
I don't require the same amount of sleep that other people do.
Why?
Because I'm special that way. You know, like one of the mutants, right? Uh-huh. I've told you my secrets. You know what it's like. You know the movie where the guy's blue?
X-Men?
X-Men. Don't say it out loud too much. I'm like one of them. I'm kind of like one of them. Chop my hand off, gonna grow back. Not right away, gonna grow back. Poke my eye out, I'll get a new one tomorrow. Now, you can't keep Charlie Stewang Stabilek down.
Right. As long as
that's
we're
what
having
God
this
did for me to make up for my retardation.
Why did you burn down the orphanage?
Because they were bad to me, the counselors. That's what they called themselves, the counselors. They were bad to me. They said they were taking my temperature, and they weren't. So, they were putting their things in there.
So you decided to burn down the Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
I got all of the kids out first, but unfortunately the counselors escaped too. But the place was down to nothing.
Matthew it almost made
San
it out.
San Diego with the Santa Ana winds.
Now, is that why Matthew is ailing?
Well, he fell when we were taking him out. Mm-hmm. He was running, and he fell down 4 flights of stairs.
4?
He didn't fall. I was helping him because the building was
you
burning.
You helped him down 4 flights?
We had to get out quick, and he was going slow. So I'd just get to one landing, and I'd throw him down. Mm-hmm. Then I'd get to the next one, and then when I picked him up, it's like picking up a noodle. He didn't have no feeling.
Right.
He didn't have no feeling in his arms, and he couldn't breathe real good.
Older or younger than you?
He's older.
How old is your brother Matthew?
70. He's not much older. He's a couple years older.
You're right.
He's a couple years older, but he breathes now through a plastic thing.
A tube?
Yeah, like in his throat. He doesn't breathe through his mouth anymore. He's got
tracheotomy.
What is it?
Tracheotomy.
Yeah, Mr. Big Words. Mr. Booksmart, always with the big words. It's a plastic hole in his throat.
Right. You know, Cousin Ronnie could pour oil in there.
Cousin Ronnie. I heard your Cousin Ronnie story. He's dumb, too, like me, right?
Yes, he is, Charlie.
Cousin Ronnie, put the oil in.
He sells real estate.
That's not how you put the oil in. You lift the car up.
With your hands?
And then you squeeze the bottom. And the oil gets all underneath the engine, and then it makes it run good. Anybody knows that? Everybody knows that, ass. F that noise. F that noise.
That's right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Charlie.
I believe in God.
Good for you, Charlie.
I believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
That's good, Charlie.
Thank you.
Who doesn't, Charlie?
Buzz!
I believe
he doesn't. He's going to burn in hell.
No, I believe
he's
going to
have little demons sticking him with a fork.
Are you still Catholic?
I'm still Roman Catholic. I go to confession. I tell the priest about the meth.
Don't you speak Latin?
Mm-hmm.
Speak some Latin.
Carpe diem.
Hey.
Et tu, Brute?
Wow. Don't you go to the
caveat emptor?
Don't you still go to like the Saturday night all Latin masses?
Orthodox Greek.
How many priests? How many?
I go to the Orthodox Greek church.
How many?
They have lovely service.
How many times have you been molested by priests?
Oh my God! I don't even count anymore. I don't anymore. You know, when I was a kid, when I was smaller, and then when I was a man child. So I had grown. I was 6 feet tall by the time I was 7. So the priest, you know, thought of me more as an adult.
Right.
I pray the Stations of the Cross 5 times a week. I go to confession and I receive Holy Communion. Because I'm a Roman Catholic. Unlike the heathen.
You're a meth head, though.
Well, but that doesn't matter. The church accepts drug addicts. They just don't accept gays. That's what I try to tell all the people. If you have a drug problem, come to the church. Mm-hmm. It don't matter none. No problem at all.
What if you're gay? Don't
I just bought my table for the JB Awards. Wow.
I hope you didn't buy that with drug money.
I did. Mr. Goodman helped me. Uh-huh. Mr. Goodman, I put in 100. He put in the other 4,900. That makes $5,000.
Right.
I'm bringing all my friends. You know who I wish I could sit at the table with?
Who's that?
Snoop. Snoop. I love Snoop.
How do you know Snoop?
I met him.
How'd you meet Snoop?
I met him through your show.
Oh, that's bad.
I'm not telling. I'm telling a lie.
How did you meet Snoop? Did you meet him?
I met him through a guy. Why do you want all these names?
Was it a DR?
Why are you jamming me on these names, man?
Was it a DRUG guy?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Snoop be doing that all the time.
He be doing that all the time.
Oh. I can talk like that,
He'd be
too.
Talking on the chronic?
He'd be talking on the chronic like all day. Hey, Snoop, right on. Get down. Okay, Holmes.
How long does it take
Don't crowd me, Holmes.
How long does it take you to roll a J?
I can do it with one hand.
Wow.
I could roll. Yeah, if you had some, I could roll it right now. Just give me the papers. Easy water. Zip. It's done.
How come you're so uncoordinated in every other facet of your life?
I am uncoordinated as far as little tiny things, but a joint is so easy. I lick my finger, then I run it along and just twist. And it's like a magic joint comes out of my hand like nobody's business.
When's the last time?
I hung up all my Christmas lights. I'm not that uncoordinated.
When's the last time?
Icicles.
When's the last time you sparked up some skunk?
I don't. I just roll them for my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't touch the stuff. How could I do that?
Never just one with Snoop?
What's the rule, Rob? What's the rule? Don't touch the merchandise.
It's not my rule.
And I don't deal with weed. I deal with meth.
I thought maybe you and Snoop, you know.
The only drug that I'd still do, and I do it occasionally once a week, once mm-hmm. Once, twice a week. It's
what?
The best. Ecstasy!
Really?
Wow.
You ever do X?
I never have. I love pot.
Oh, man, I'm rolling on X.
Huh. Now?
I grind my teeth. I don't have any teeth on the bottom right
Look
here.
At that.
All gum.
Hey, how's your buddy Tom Sizemore?
Tom Sizemore's in a joint. He ain't doing too good now. He is gone away. He has. Tom Sizemore showed me his movie that he made.
Oh, the dirty movie.
Yes. And I saw his thing. And he said, "That's me, Charlie." And I said, "Oh, God, you're dirty." And he thought that was funny.
Did you ask him about the Wizinator?
What?
Did you ask him about the Wizinator?
What's that?
That's his fake thing.
Why are you trying to confuse me, Ron?
I'm not at all.
Why you always try to confuse me at Christmas time?
You have changed since you've become a meth dealer.
Yeah.
Why?
You are, in some ways, you're sharper.
Chill out.
But in other ways, there seems to be a vulgar, almost physical side of you that's coming out.
And also the five-button suit.
Why are you so uptight, boys? Let a man breathe, all right?
Uh-huh. Take your sunglasses off.
I don't want to.
Take your sunglasses off.
All right, I'll take them off. There we go.
Oh no.
Yeah, look at the red circles, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, I look like
Jesus
one of those
Christ,
things
Charlie.
You buy in the store.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time, and I decorated my eyes.
Put the glasses back on.
I'll put them back on. There we go. No problem. I got no problem with you. I got no problem with either of you.
Thanks, baby.
Why do you have a problem with me?
I don't.
What'd I do?
How many beepers do you have?
I got a lot.
Look at that belt.
Look at that.
I know.
How many beepers do you have?
Hey, look. Just because Charlie's got a little success in life and Charlie's not doing all the odd jobs around, you got to crowd me. I'm getting tired of being crowded.
Hey, why is the man like keeping you down,
Charlie? He's keeping me down because that's what the man does. I don't get that. I just say it. Happy Christmas, Rob.
Who is the man?
I don't know, Rob. I don't know who the man is. He's Chico's friend.
We must
Chico.
Break.
Chico.
When we come back.
You have to play commercials, right?
Yeah, we do. And when we come back, do you want to hear some of the Hamburger James
yes,
story
Don,
this year?
Yes, I do. It's my favorite Christmas. It's a tradition. It's a tradition. I don't know what that word means, but it is a tradition. That's what
true.
You said to me last year.
Okay, you got to be straight, though.
All right, I'll be straight. I'll straighten up and fly right.
Got to be straight.
All right.
Thank you.
No more selling drugs now.
Mr. Walker gave me chocolate. He's a good man, and so are all of you. Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night. La, 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 la. It's my 67th birthday.
Right.
Where's my 68th?
67.
You know, once you hit 65.
Have you ever.
They all run together.
Have you ever sold anything to Mr. Walker?
Yes, I have.
Really?
Well, I didn't sell. I worked with him. He flies planes.
Yes, he does.
Dude Walker, yes, he does.
He flies planes to places that I go.
I see.
I can't talk more than that.
Right.
Drug runner Walker. Thank you, dude. Why do you think they call him dude? He's the dude. He really is. He wears a bathrobe.
Oh, like the Big Lebowski.
Yes, he's just like that in real life. He comes in and does all this straight stuff for you, but he really drinks White Russians and hangs around with a robot.
You never used to understand the Big Lebowski.
We watch it, Mr. Walker. Yeah, at his house. Got a big house. Big house. Nice studio. Real nice studio he's got. I want more chocolate.
Sure you do. Mm-hmm.
I have attention deficit disorder.
We will be right back, and we'll do as much of the Hamburger James story as we possibly can.
Can I go to break?
Sure, Charlie.
We'll be right back on the Don and Mike Show, and by my math.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on up, come on up there. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho.
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it, blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice... football.
Football? Oh, no. Okay, what was I doing? Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
No, no. I want an official red undercover and I should do it if you're ready by the rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
No!
Christmas is a time to say I love you.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Charlie, here we are late on our last show of 2007.
I'm not tired yet. I'm not tired at all.
Good.
I am W-O-R-E-D, wired.
No, it's W-O-R-E-D would be Ward.
Whatever. Whatever. It's Christmas.
You're punchy.
Charlie?
This is the Hamburger James story.
Yeah.
Now, because of time restraints this year.
What are those?
That means because we're running long.
Long?
We've been talking too much.
Oh, so you don't have time.
Yes,
all right, I understand.
We are going to have to just boil it down.
Boil it down, Donnie.
You know that... Hamburger,
you know,
Hamburger James was a friend of Elvis Presley's and worked and lived with Elvis in Graceland and was a member of the Memphis Mafia.
Nobody bothers me. June Reed. What? You know.
You know.
You know. Rob.
I took care of Elvis. This is a story written by... Elvis's
cousin,
half brother.
Oh, I thought it was his cousin.
It was his stepbrother. Stepbrother.
Stepbrother.
Stepbrother. Rick Stanton.
Stepbrother. Stepbrother. Hillbillies.
Eventually, I took care of Elvis when we were traveling.
Yep.
I did everything.
Everything. Washed.
Made sure all the meals were taken care of. I took care of his wardrobe and jewelry.
Cleaned his. But
taped up the windows so the sun couldn't get in.
Sun don't shine on the other side.
I set up the room and I carried the kit that contained all of Elvis's medications.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the song?
I don't know, Charlie.
It's not the same. I love this stuff. I love this. Is this
Mannheim?
Yes,
Mannheim Steamroller?
It's Carolyn Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, this is good stuff. I like this. Yeah. Excuse me. I got a phlegm in my throat. So what happened?
The kit went everywhere with Elvis.
Yeah, the kit. That's where Elvis kept his drugs.
And I was the guy designated to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we went out for a drive, that meant I brought the kit.
Right, the kit.
It had all kinds of uppers.
All uppers. That's a drug.
Dexedrine, Black mm-hmm. Beauties. Then you got the Class A Percodan, Demerol, Codeine, Barbiturates.
Poor Elvis. Boo-hoo.
Towards the end, there was liquid Demerol needles. And he had money inside the kit.
Heavy chronic.
$10,000 in a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
He had makeup.
What's the matter with the machine?
A driver's license?
The machine broke again.
Lots of jewelry.
Lots of jewelry. Well, Elvis had to wear jewelry because he had to be flashy.
Let's turn that off.
Turn that cotton picking thing off.
A lot of...
cotton picking for cockamamie.
You know what? Why am I even wasting time with this?
Why? What's the matter?
It's a favorite.
Get to the good part. Get to the good part.
All right, here we go, Charlie.
Okay, can I summarize?
Sure.
Okay, Hamburger James stole the kit and money from Elvis. Elvis got really mad, and Elvis chased him to the airport.
Okay, we've been up, we pick it up there.
Okay, Elvis chases him to the airport. This is the good part.
Somebody runs up and says he found out the plane from Memphis is leaving the gate.
Mm-hmm.
We run like mad to get there.
Right.
The guys are pounding on the glass, and Elvis runs up to the girl at the gate desk and says, "Stop that plane. Stop that plane.
I'm a federal officer."
She ignores him for a second or two, and she says, "I can't." Then Elvis pulls out a police badge,
mm-hmm.
one of the many he's been given over the years.
Yeah, he's an honorary member.
Flashes at her, and he yells, "I'm a federal officer." I said, "Stop that plane."
He's not. He's not. He's doing drugs.
She sees it's Elvis.
God.
And she gets all buttery.
Yeah, that means she's like, she's in love with him, right?
Yep. She says, "Oh, it's you. Can I have your autograph?"
Sure.
And he's yelling, "Stop that plane. I'm a federal officer."
He's not. So, he's a drug user.
And she's looking at him sort of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking at her mad and confused.
Yeah, he's mad. He's Elvis.
And kind of flattered.
Because Hamburger James stole his kit.
I never did understand why,
mm-hmm.
but the plane stopped and pulled back up to the gate.
Right.
They opened the door, and Elvis' bodyguards ran down the aisle.
This is the best part. They go on the plane.
And there in the back was old Hamburger James.
Get up, you pussy.
They dragged him right up the aisle.
By his hair, I hope.
Off the plane, out of the airport.
Hope they knocked a few teeth out. I'm really overtired.
He was wailing and crying.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys were punching him to try to keep him quiet.
Yeah, wake you up if you get a few teeth knocked out, Hamburger James, you filthy scum.
I'm sure he thought they were going to take him to the desert and dig him a grave. A
lot of holes in the desert, and a lot of problems are buried in those holes. That's a great movie. Casino.
We race back to the hotel.
Race, race, race.
Elvis's people drag Hamburger James into the elevator.
Oh, he's in trouble now.
Up to Elvis's suite.
Time to meet your maker.
They throw him on the couch.
Violate him, violate him.
Elvis walks up and the crowd of people parts.
Yep.
Hamburger James is sobbing like crazy, scared to death.
He's a big baby. He's a big-ass baby.
Elvis walks up in front of him, leans down, and picks up a big, heavy coffee table.
Oh, he's going to kill him. He's going to drop it on his head. He's going to kill him. I swear to God, he's going to kill him. Don't kill him.
He doesn't say anything.
No.
He's dead quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, oh, Christ, he's going to murder him.
He's going to murder him dead. Kill him dead.
He's going to smash him in the head with that table. How are we ever going to talk our way
out
of this?
He's going to get dead in the head.
Charlie?
I like the Grateful Dead.
Elvis puts the table down.
Yeah, watch. This is the really important part.
That he walks up to Hamburger James.
Yes.
And looks at him real cold.
Watch this.
And real quiet.
Mm-hmm.
A slap.
See how quiet it is?
Just like in the movies.
Slap.
Pow.
Ow.
Then pow.
Ow.
Backhand slap.
Backhand
again.
Slap, yeah.
Then...
Don, I like the pregnant pauses.
The most amazing thing happened, Charlie.
The baby Jesus is born.
Hamburger James got a funny look on his face and wilted like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
He cried and cried.
He's always crying because he stole the kit. I'd kick his ass.
He said he's sorry he stole from Elvis.
Kick his ass.
He would give it back.
Yeah, whatever.
Elvis looked at him for a minute, and then he broke down and started crying too.
Come on, Elvis, you're the king of rock and roll.
Well, did you know you? Why didn't you let me know you needed money?
Yeah.
Why did you not let me know?
He really liked Hamburger James.
I would have given you money. You didn't have to steal from me, said Elvis.
That's right.
They cried and cried.
Cried like a couple little bambinos.
And Elvis kept telling Hamburger James he didn't have to leave. He could keep his job.
After they cried, did they have sex?
But Hamburger James wanted to leave. So Elvis gave him 2 weeks' salary.
Get out of here.
Get back to the airport. Charlie.
Scumbag.
Elvis wanted to be a tough guy.
Right.
But he really couldn't.
That's it. That's the Hamburger James story. All the really good parts.
Yeah.
Especially the end.
Are you ready for some little extra Elvis from this story?
I am ready. Let's go.
Okay.
Give it to me. Give it to me, baby. Give it to me, baby.
Drugs were everywhere.
Oh, he was bad. He was as bad as anybody could be.
This is in the same story. Hamburger James story. It's the end of the story.
Yeah. Cut loose.
In the latter part of Elvis's life, drugs were taking complete control. He couldn't act or think straight anymore.
Right.
He'd fall out of bed in the morning with a handful of uppers, chase it down with coffee.
Yeah, bad man.
We'd have to order 3 breakfasts because he'd get so out of it on those uppers. He'd be rattling and talking and the food would get cold.
He couldn't even keep himself clean.
Halfway through the meal, I have to have another one sitting there ready. He'd get all wired. They give him Valium or something like that later to take the edge off.
Give him some donut rolls. He'll be fine.
Then just before he goes on stage, the doctors would give him uppers.
I mean hot dog rolls.
He came off
my
the
bad.
Stage. They give him something to calm him down. Give him something else to go to sleep.
Yep.
Sometimes Elvis would be so out of it during a meal, he'd be sitting there and nodding off. You'd have to watch him because he would get a piece of hamburger meat hung in his throat.
Sure, he choked to death. He wanted to take too big a piece.
On more than one occasion, I had to go in when he was choking in bed and reach down in his throat and pull stuff out.
Ew! Gross, reaching down Elvis's throat. You get puke on it.
Pound on his chest. It was sad, you know. I mean, this guy's 19 years older than me, and I'm holding him up.
Sad, but funny.
I put my arms around him. I said, you okay, boss? Drink some water.
If you weren't so wasted, you could eat your burger.
Everyone was always trying to get Elvis to lose weight. But you had to be careful or he'd get mad.
Give him some peaches. Give him some peaches. He'll eat those like a pig.
They do it indirectly. Like saying something when they would be sure he would hear it within earshot.
Elvis, are you listening, you pig, you?
Like, quote, I had a friend who had lost a lot of weight eating yogurt. So Elvis would start eating yogurt.
Yeah, Elvis thought that would make him skinny.
He'd get those little containers of yogurt with fruit. But it didn't work because he would eat 20 of them at a time.
Both greed and sloth are deadly sins. I prefer gluttony.
The same thing happened with peaches. Elvis got on a peach craze.
Yep, he liked them peaches.
He'd eat peaches all day and all night.
I skipped ahead in the story.
I'd find the pits everywhere.
Yeah, life with Elvis was the pits.
He got to be about 250 pounds. It got to the point where he would have to take giant spools of saran wrap.
Man, that's as big as Mike O'Mara.
Giant ones. And wrap him to hold his stomach in.
My God, wrap him with saran wrap.
That made it almost impossible for him to breathe.
Help me, I'm Elvis Presley, I can't breathe. Gotta get wasted though, showtime!
Even though Elvis was a drug addict, he was my stepbrother. And I loved him. Signed, Rick Stanley.
Okay. That's sad.
That's the whole Hamburger James story.
He loved him, you see. Even though he wrote all that trash about him, he really loved him in the end. That's the saddest part, and I've never heard that before. That's the Christmas miracle. That is. That's the Christmas miracle we've all been looking for.
The people at the orphanage loved you in the end.
Yes, they did. They knew I did the right thing. We had bad counselors. Evil men that needed to be burned. Speedwack. Don't you forget it, man.
Put your finger down.
Happy, happy Crimble, Charlie.
Happy Crimble.
Gary Crimble, yes.
Gary Crimble. And the moral of the story is...
Yes?
Yes, we
dogs,
always like asking you, what is the moral, Charlie?
Dogs love cheese. Thank you.
Right.
What do you mean, what? It makes total sense.
I see it now.
Open that big mind of yours up.
My mind is closed.
Good luck with your procedure.
Have you had it done?
No.
I thought they favored sterilization at the orphanage.
Well, it was done when I was a baby. It was called involuntary sterilization.
There's the Touchtones. How y'all doing?
Let's take caller 100 right now.
Big prize on the line.
877-365-3636. We got $1,000 in Christmas cash.
Your ass doesn't smell.
Exactly. Dial recklessly. 877-365-3636.
Perfumes just cover it up. My ass has smelled for years.
As a matter of fact, how about we'll give $1,000 to caller 100 and $500 to caller number 101.
That is a very nice bonus. I like that.
As our way of saying thank you for listening to the show.
Happy Crimble, and to all of my fans that have sent me cards and letters throughout the year, Merry Crimble and a Happy New Year.
And you know what time it is now, Charlie?
It's time for the show to start.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Time for Buzz.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Hi, Charlie.
Atheism news.
Not really, no.
No?
No, humanist news.
Oh, humanist. I bet you have a story about weed, though.
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, I was going to give you an attaboy.
Call 100 right now. Dial recklessly. You get the money. We'll get an update on Buzz with the news.
I'll give you all attaboys.
And Charlie?
Attaboy, boys.
You keep your nose clean, buddy.
Yes, I will. Absolutely, Don. Happy Crimble to you and yours.
Merry Christmas.
Y'all have a good time.
I'll see you next year.
I got a roll. Got a roll going down. It's nighttime, almost. Nighttime is the right time.
There he goes. Wow.
Charlie.
What the hell is wrong with him this year?
You know, keep a kid in sports and you keep him out of courts.
Yeah, he's gone down the wrong road.
Nice suit, though.
Well, if we all had a chance to spend more time with him, he'd be better off.
Busy. His pimp hand is strong.
Yeah, he had that sharkskin suit on. That was something special. Man, he was as shiny as the North Star. Charlie.
Glazed like a donut. weeks of sweating and not bathing and doing his meth.
Welcome to Goofy Time. That's where Charlie lives.
And all of this, of course, a tribute to the baby Jesus.
That's right. As we say, happy time to all of you.
Happy time.
Happy time to you and yours.
Buzz?
Yes.
Hey, Buzz, how about that baby Jesus?
How about him? Just all right, isn't he? With me.
No room at the end, Buzz.
Crimble, crimble.
Oh, Jesus. He's the man. Stand by.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Christmas is about resolving differences and seeing through the petty problems of family life.
Yeah, and it's about my mother accusing your mother of buying cheap hot dogs and your mother accusing my mother of waxing her upper lip, and then they don't speak.
Your mother
to
waxes
each other.
Her upper lip?
She has for years.
Doesn't show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Ho, 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 ho. You got to call number 100. All right, hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name? Any idea?
My name is Mike, I think.
Mike?
You know your name. Wonderful.
Good answer. Where are you from, Mike?
Well, I'm originally from Boston. Go Sox.
All right.
Where are you from right now?
I am from Route 7. I'm driving to Falls Church to go home right in this very second.
Virginia, congratulations. Wow, what a long way to go to tell you. You won $1,000, my friend.
Get out of here.
$1,000, you're the big winner.
No kidding. No kidding, are you serious?
No kidding, I
we are. We are telling the truth. You are the winner of $1,000.
Awesome.
Serious as ball cancer. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Enjoy your $1,000. Seriously, my friend. Thanks for listening to our show.
That's awesome. You guys rock. Go Pats.
Right on. Hold on a second. Let's get one more.
That's right. You offered a little something extra.
Got 500 extra bucks. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, what's your name?
Kevin.
Where are you from, friend?
Washington, D.C.
What is half of 1,000?
500.
There you go. That's yours. $500, and thank you for listening to the show.
Come on.
Yes, we're telling the truth. People don't believe that we are giving this money away. You have won $500.
Come on.
Merry Christmas.
Right on.
Same to you.
Same to you, my friend.
We have a unique listener base, and I like their reactions, too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Come on, get out of town.
He's like, when I said to the guy, no kidding, all he heard was kidding.
No, the first guy really won a grand and the other guy won $500. We're telling the truth.
See, we're bad with the management on our money. And CBS is such bastards. If we don't give away the money that's allotted for this calendar year,
they take it.
Yeah, it doesn't roll over.
What?
No. And it doesn't, as we would request, go to the gay men's choir. Instead, it goes right into Dan Mason's pocket.
But we actually make our own donations each and every year for the gay men's choir, in spite of CBS. We actually make our own donations.
You know.
You donate your time.
Yes.
Well, time and also a cup.
Cup, yes. One, two men, one cup.
My cup runneth over, and anyway, that's it. We're out of money for the year.
Yeah, we're done.
And the best part about this is that someone in corporate, between now and the end of the year, is going to be looking at a spreadsheet, and they're going to say, look at that. They didn't give away $1,500. Then the check request is going to come in, and they're going to say, oh, bastards. Mm-hmm.
They got us.
They gave away every cent. Every
penny. Always keep track of your money.
Right.
Your money, because otherwise they'll take it from you.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
That's right. That's me.
Buzz. Now, Buzz was around when...
Oh, since the dawn of time. I'm the oldest thing on the planet.
When you would just swap a rock for something.
That's or a beaver pelt.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
or whatever the produce of the day, the animals
just
of the day.
Unbelievable how old
I am. You would go into the local mercantile, and Buzz would be there with his shiny rocks.
Mm-hmm. You remember the best Christmas he ever had? When he produced someone a pelt of a saber-toothed tiger.
I remember.
That was a special Christmas, wasn't
it? I couldn't wear that pelt then.
Yeah. I mean, well, what do you remember most about that time?
Well, you know, there are a lot of things about that time and the whole time that I've lived. But the thing I remember most about that specific time
is that
it's a little on the chilly side.
Cold.
Very cold.
It was cold.
Just chilly.
Yeah. There he is now, Curly.
Hi.
Curly Ringo,
uh-huh.
Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Cocksmith Elston. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi. Strike news. For the last 2 weeks, in fact, for the first time ever, ABC's Nightline has been beating both Leno and Letterman in the ratings. Uh-oh. And the writer strike that drove the late-night funnyman into reruns shows no sign of ending soon. So Leno, and Conan and Letterman and Ferguson and Kimmel are coming back to work on Monday, January 7th, maybe sooner. The late-night talkers have stayed away because they didn't want to offend the writers they love and depend upon.
As predicted here, that the network suit said, listen, you know, and if you got David Letterman and you're paying, how much does he make, Buzz?
I thought it was $4 million a year. Got maybe more.
I think it's like more like $14
million. Yeah,
they
put a one in front of that. It's $14 or $15
million. Right, I'd forgotten.
If you're Leslie, girl's name, Moonves, and you're paying Letterman $14 million bucks,
right,
and you're watching bad reruns from 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
At some point, you call the guy up and you say, you know what, Dave? You're a funny guy. You know, Dave, you're a funny guy. Do the show without the writers.
Right.
Come on now.
Just,
we need you. Just bring on the celebrities
just
and just
go for it.
And just be yourself.
Well, they should be careful what they wish for.
I was looking at something on YouTube today. Johnny Carson, if you do a search on YouTube for Johnny Carson and Writer's Strike, you find back in 79, something, whenever the writers went on strike the last time, when Johnny Carson walked off The Tonight Show, when he came back, this is a hilarious bit. He said, well, I'm here, and I don't have any writers. So he pulled out pictures of his family, and on the desk, for 5 minutes, he goes, all right, this is us walking down the street. Seriously.
He showed family photographs?
He just showed family
photos.
That
is classic. That is too funny.
Anyway,
I wouldn't be surprised to see Letterman do a similar type of thing.
And I'd like to see that. I'm sure everyone would like to see those guys and see.
So did Johnny come back when there legitimately weren't writers, or was he just doing shtick, they'd actually come back to work,
No. Way back then, he had to cross
the line. Oh, he had to cross the line,
so when
these
finally,
guys will, too.
This was his first night coming back, and he said, I'm here with no writers, which is why all he did was show family photos.
Do you think that this thing, when they come back, that that actually tips the scales maybe in favor of the producers and the networks a little bit?
Not necessarily.
Dig their heels in even more?
I think they dig their heels in even more. And not only have the late night host, stayed away out of respect for the writers, they also didn't want to take the kind of heat that Carson Daly took for coming back. But Letterman, who, are you ready for this, has grown a full white beard.
Suck on that, losers.
Has nothing to worry about. Quoting one of his guys, we will never be able to repay him for what he did. Letterman, on the air without writers and pissed off about it, would be as powerful as anything we can do. He will rail nightly about the greedy pinheads that put him in that position.
Is this Photoshop?
No, that's real.
That's real. Santa Dave.
We got to put this on the front page of DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that great?
Oh, my God.
Photoshopped Letterman if he was the Unabomber.
That is a man that should shave his beard. Dave, shave that off. Oh, my God.
So the writers are actually happy that he's coming back. They like the fact that he's respected them and stayed away for 2 months, but they think that he can do them more good by going on the air and bitching about their absence.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Than he can by staying away.
Mm-hmm. Well, of all those guys, he's probably the one that's got the balls to do it.
Yeah, he would probably do it.
And here's a great story. As for Carson Daly, who returned to work 2 weeks ago, a taping of his show was disrupted by striking writers this week. As Daly was interviewing football's Jerry Rice, an audience member stood up and said, "The questions would be better if the show had writers." That person was removed by security, and Daly restarted the interview and the segment. Then another audience member stood up in the retaping and said, "I feel so bad for the striking writers. Can I please leave?" And they, too, were escorted out.
That was funny.
NBC security then came on stage and announced that anyone else interrupting the show would be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Oh, God, there they go.
That was not funny.
See, there are only about 100 people in that studio audience, and suddenly 20 of them got up and left.
Really?
Even some striking writers feel badly for Carson Daly. They say he just wants the rest of his staff to get paid, people he dragged from New York to California with the promise of making a good living.
Buzz, on that note, let's do wish a happy holiday to Carson Daly.
Rocking around Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
Hope he gets enough to eat.
Later we'll have some f***ing pie.
Hey.
That's just for Carson, right there.
Slow down.
Brenda Lee singing that especially for Carson Daly.
That bitch!
Oh!
The writers have also now filed a formal complaint with the National Labor Relations Board. They have done this to try to force their bosses back to the bargaining table. They say the producers broke the law when they broke off the talks.
Do you think that any of these people know that long term, I think we're going to care about this as much as we care about this baseball crap?
No,
because
they're not aware of that.
There's going to be stuff on TV that takes the place of the stuff that's scripted.
Yeah, so, and with these guys going back to work, I'm thinking the writers got to yield a little bit on this.
I hate
to say that, but I think they have to.
It's like I use the baseball thing as an analogy. Everyone I have talked to today, universally about this, has said these 80 guys that are in the paper, they're screwed. And this is like the worst thing that baseball could have done to hang these 80 guys out.
They're going to be remembered forever. And you know what? The whole story is going to pass quickly. But these guys are going to be remembered, and it isn't fair for them to be singled out.
Some baseball fans who will now say, "This is where I get off."
Mm-hmm.
Seriously,
yeah.
And the same thing might happen with TV. The great thing about TV is there's so many goddamn channels.
Right.
I mean, give me unscripted stuff. Give me that National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Letterman. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss House and The Office and all of those kinds of shows. I'll miss those a lot.
Yeah, I think with the baseball, you are going to lose some people because of this. But I also think baseball is so much stronger than it was when they had the strike that it'll keep the fan base. I really
Buzz,
do.
Yeah. Maybe you can do what I do, because I like House a lot, too, and I like The Office. What I've done is I got the entire season of Kid Nation.
You're a lucky man, though.
You've really been working that TiVo overtime, haven't you?
And, you know, that first episode, it's just as unbelievable as when I watched it last summer.
Shocking,
I know.
Really.
It should be fun.
The strike also means that the Christmas episode of House will not be airing until January 29th. With everything else in reruns, Fox is withholding a couple of episodes of House, saving one to air right after the
Super Bowl.
That's
smart.
Hold on. That is really the dumbest of them. So they have a new House.
They have two.
All right, but they've got one that's a Christmas one.
Right.
I love watching the ER Christmas reruns in the summer.
That'll air after the Super Bowl.
All right, that's smart.
When we come back, a new sobriety test. Spell Hasselhoff.
Ooh. Yep.
This is a mess.
Happy Crimble.
Where's the thing? Where's the Hasselhoff thing? Do you got that in there still? Where he's laying on the ground with no shirt on?
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
There he is.
Comment?
No.
Yep.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Merry f***ing Christmas from the Don and Mike Show.
Buzz Burbank brought to you by Mervis Diamond Importers at eDiamonds.com. Fine little brilliance, a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamond.com, www.e-diamonds.com, or call 1-800 Her love.
Hi, her love.
What's happening there, stud? What's happening, Mr. Musk?
Hi, Donna, Mike.
What's Mr. Jovan.
What's happening, smells of sex?
I've got some other show business news worth mentioning. A website is offering a free iPod iTouch to anyone who correctly guesses the date upon which troubled singer Amy Winehouse will die.
Oh, wow.
Happy
Christmas,
holidays.
Christmas, Christmas.
Really? Is that what you're... Maybe you'll win the product.
The 25th.
Don has Christmas. The Inquirer says David Hasselhoff was hospitalized twice this month. Twice.
Tell me you're going to stop.
For alcohol poisoning.
I'm going to stop.
The source says, and I quote, David urinated on himself. He was drooling and slurring so badly you couldn't understand a word he said.
Oh, dear. Twice, huh?
Yeah, twice. Liza Minnelli collapsed mid-song during a concert in Sweden Wednesday night. Her rep says Liza complained of dizziness with two Z's before the show and then got, quote, very ill after it
I
began.
I like that, dizziness with two Z's. Have to,
send this one out. Come on, cue up. Please cue up for David.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
This is a mess.
David Hasselhoff.
See my mama cry.
That's John Denver singing to David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, he had a few drinks in his day.
Just a couple. Mm-hmm. And finally, this holiday season, don't try to board the plane with a bottle of alcohol.
Right.
The ban on liquids continues, and it nearly killed a guy this week. A 64-year-old German was on his way home from his vacation in Egypt.
What makes a Nazi?
And was
How does he get that way?
He was changing planes in Nuremberg. While he was there, he bought a liter of vodka. Airport security explained they couldn't let it through. So the man did the only thing he felt he could do. Chugged the whole bottle while standing in line.
Oh, God.
It's about 27 shots worth.
That's my God.
You want to talk about a role model. There's someone you can look up to.
Jeez, happy holiday.
That's normally about twice what you need to die of alcohol poisoning.
Oh, dear.
The hospital kept him alive, but he's still recovering.
Beautiful.
Wow.
I'm Buzz Burbank. Merry Christmas on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No! Yeah.
That's it. Have a great holiday, everybody. A very safe and serene Christmas and New Year's. And thanks again for listening to our show all year long. We'll be back to wrap it up in the first part of the year. Good day to you, sir.
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 Head. Oh, head.
So this is a long weekend?
A little bit.
Merry Christmas to the armed forces, too. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy Krimble.
What are you doing throwing that in? Was your conscience bothering you or something?
Doesn't that make up for the other 364 days?
Not even close.
It's a start. It's something.
God bless you. See you later.
This is the Don and Mike Show.